every thought in here.
Everybody, yeah. Everybody, yeah. Get into it, yeah. Get stoked,
come on.
Get retarded,
come on.
Get retarded,
hey.
Get retarded,
let's get retarded.
Hello.
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 Oh, hi there.
Hello. And hello, everybody. It is the best of Don and Mike Easter Monday edition. Ah, yes. It's your old buddy Rob on a beautiful day in Washington, D.C. Yeah, I took some time out, stopped building my ark, and decided to host the best of Don and Mike. Real good show for you today. Let's not waste any time. Let's get started. A weekend recap. That's normally what you would hear at this time on the Don and Mike Show, so let's give you a good one here. Don, Frida, Bart, Battle Royale, Big Source Family Fight, and Don parties up with the Baltimore Ravens. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Okay. Hope you had a good weekend. I believe I did. In some small way, I believe I did have a good weekend.
That's a good thing.
I've got a lot of exciting things to tell you, but I've written myself, you know, I'm very anal retentive with the notes and the junk for the show. Mm-hmm. And now, why would I have to write this to myself? Really, here's what I wrote. Go light on World War III this weekend. The fight that continued from Friday's show into the weekend with my wife and my son, which was a big part of the weekend.
Go light on it, go easy on it.
That's a note to myself. Then I write...
Note to self.
I really wrote this. Be upbeat and happy. Now, what kind of an ass am I? What kind of an ass is going to do a radio show, going to write about how his family drives him freaking crazy, but at the same time wants to write, be upbeat and happy about it.
Be upbeat and happy.
The last thing I want to be is a downer here on this good-looking Monday.
Time to accentuate the positive.
That's right. And here's the positive. There are no dead bodies at 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Congratulations.
That's my home address. Ooh. If you money fans want to come check me out.
That's wonderful that there are no bodies. I'm so happy for you.
And it was just a CF of a weekend.
Wow.
That had some good stuff in it, along with all the fighting. It started Friday. The fight on Friday was, I said to my kid, do me a favor. Drop mom off at the radio station because Frida and I were going to go to this fancy Baltimore Ravens David Modell party up in Baltimore on Friday night, which we did, which was great. And I'll get into that and tell you about Marty Bass in a second. then she says to him, you got to bring me. And I had asked him to please bring mom as a favor. And as it turns out, this unfolded on the air on Friday. Mm-hmm. He didn't. They had a fight. He ended up, it was the thing he said, well, I said I would take in. She said, never mind. And then, so they were fighting. And by the time she arrived at the station on Friday night, she was already not in a great mood because the two of them had been fighting. And
she seemed to be visibly upset.
Yeah, she really was. But I want to tell you, these two went at it. These two people that I love more than anybody in the world went at it this weekend like proud gladiators, like rock 'em, sock 'em robots. I mean to tell you, and all I'm doing is watching. All I'm doing is watching.
That's right.
I'm observing. I'm trying to help. I mean, listen, like I said to them both, you're both wrong. First, kid, you're wrong. You know, we ask you to do something simple, give your mother a ride to join dad. You do it, okay? So you're a jerk face. Okay, Frida, wife, who I love so much.
Mm-hmm.
You're right to be mad. Off with his head, I say.
Right.
But for goodness sakes, it's only like one of 1 million things that this kid does that pisses us off.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a bigger-than-life event.
Did you wear your striped shirt this weekend?
I should have. And I played everything wrong because she got into the car Friday night. We drove up to Baltimore together, and I said, how are you? Because she'd just been arguing with Bart all day.
Yeah.
And I said, how are you? She said, frankly, I'm not real good. And I said, is there anything I can do? And she said, no. Now, my mind frame on Friday night, by the time the show was done, the show that we're doing now, the show that I come to every day,
this one,
by the time I got, I was wound like a friggin' rubber band already because of the stuff between my wife and my kid. And I go downstairs. She said she didn't want to talk about it. The whole drive to Baltimore, you know the only person I talked to was the OnStar. When I finally I had to press the button to say, how do I get on? There was a Orioles game on Friday night, and there's some construction. So how do I get to Utah Street? So I did the OnStar. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but there was some. You know, I would say, how are you doing? And she'd say, okay. Uh-huh. But apparently, I didn't do enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I was mad at her and mad at
Bart. She wanted help, but she wanted you to assume that.
Well, as she told me on Saturday, and I'm jumping all over the place now, but just in the chronological order of the story of the war that could continue all weekend, when we got to the party on Friday night, this party for David Modell, there was a lady there. I don't know, one of Pat Modell's friends. Now, Pat Modell is the wife of Art Modell, the guy who used to own the team.
Right.
So, I don't know. She's, you know, over 50.
Right.
And her friends are, you know, all also over 50. Anyway, so there's one of these women who I had met previously. I don't know. She's like maybe 70. She's well put together for a 70-year-old. Very hips. Mm-hmm. Got it together.
Good.
She comes over and she says, you know, something like, "Oh, you darling baby, I haven't seen you for so long. Would you like to dance?" Now, I didn't even mention on the air, on this thing it says dinner and dancing, and not a chance I dance. I don't
right.
dance
yeah,
unless I'm bombed out of my mind. Well,
right.
I wasn't bombed out of my mind, but I said to this old broad, this nice lady, I said, "I would love to dance with you."
And
then what I did was
it was the old style of dancing.
No, I mean, but it was my old style of dancing. It wasn't
right?
like ballroom dancing, but we were, whatever it was, I had my arm around her
waist. It's kind of lumbado like
Donnie dancing.
And I, yes, thank you.
We're
thank
alive.
You, and I'm
a lot
leading.
Of grinding?
not a terrible amount.
Okay.
Not for lack of
the
trying.
Little.
So, anyway, as we're dancing our way around, I come across my wife, who's standing at the other corner of the room. And now listen what a jerk I am. As we go past her, I say, "Hey, hi, Frida. Look, I'm dancing. I'm dancing with this lady. And you know why I'm dancing with her? Because I'm mad at you about the ride up here." La, 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 la.
Said that out loud?
Said it out loud.
Oh, dear.
To her face.
Yeah, bad move.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake. Paid for that on Saturday. I mean, and to my wife's credit, I'll say we went through the rest of the party fine. We socialized with all the people.
Good.
We had a great time. She drove home. All I remember is getting into the car at 1:30, and it was 3 o'clock, and we were at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was home. Mm-hmm. And then
you had drool coming down your cheek.
The next thing I know, I woke up on Saturday, and boy, had hell frozen over in my house, because not only was the fight with my son still ongoing, but I had totally mismanaged the situation the night before.
Right.
I had a pretty killer hangover going, and I was just sitting in the computer room Saturday morning very early, listening to my wife and trying to be comforting. And at one point she said, you know, and she had a moment, I don't know which Diane Keaton movie it is, one of the movies where she loses her mind.
Well, the most recent one, she loses her mind a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, something's got to give. Because my wife looks like, she's a good-looking woman like that, about the same size. There's one of those scenes in the movies where Diane Keaton just says something like, "I can't take it anymore! Don't you understand? I just can't!" Well, I got that from Frida on Saturday,
right.
Saturday morning, after talking to her, which she was screaming at me. She's screaming. I said, "I'm just trying to help. Everything I'm doing is wrong." She said, "No, you want to help at all? All you want to do is lecture me. I tell you how I'm feeling, and you say to me, 'Buck up, are you going to stop the pity party now?'" All things that I did say.
Right.
And she flipped out. I mean, she went ball friggin' listic on
right,
my ass.
Right.
And it took a lot of letter writing.
Oh, an old family minister who had recorded it also.
So we finally get this worked out.
Good.
At least my part with Frida.
Okay.
Where, listen, yeah, I think they're both wrong, but I got to be the bigger person. I'm the dad. And all she really wanted. Oh, I thought I heard my phone. All she really wanted from me was she just wanted me to be Big Daddy. All she wanted was just a hug. That's all she wanted.
She wanted comfort. Yeah.
Yes, and rather than that, I can't help it, Mike. I'm a man who thinks with my head, not with my hands.
Logical.
I thought, thank you, Buzz. Logical. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm logical. So anyway,
not hugs.
We get past all that junk. And I've got lots of good stuff to tell you about this party. And we went to see the Bourne movie, which was great, except for the people that were in the theater with us, as always. Then it's now Sunday morning, and this thing between my wife and my son continues.
Uh-huh.
Even Saturday night, it has continued. My wife and I have been out at the movies. We get back home. They try to talk. They can't talk.
Mm.
They're mad at each other. And when I'm trying to talk to either of them, they're both pissing me off. This is a gigantic argument. Sunday morning, yesterday morning, my kid's getting ready to go to work. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. He comes downstairs, and Frieda and I are just sitting there looking at the newspaper, and then she cracked. I mean, and I felt awful for her because she really lost it with Bart standing right there. She just said, you know, she said, I love you so much. I hate that this is going on. I mean, this is, I am not kidding. This is like drama that I don't need in my friggin' life. But whatever, it's real.
Yeah.
So she, it's, and you've heard her on the show, and you guys, you all know her, that it's very hard. What is this tape from? No, not exactly, Rob.
Not quite.
No.
Box office, boys.
maybe in an earlier round of the yelling.
Chopped down any of the cherry trees
rose
bushes.
No, right. I want to be very explicit about this. I felt awful for my wife.
She didn't say D-O-N-I, Donnie, bring me the axe.
She didn't.
All right.
I mean... My wife is a tough nut to crack.
Right.
And
she is a tough lady. Very strong.
In this battle of the wills,
mm-hmm.
my kid, even though he was wrong, he's the jerk who didn't drive her, didn't do us the simple favor to give her the lift. In this 36-hour war they had, he won. She caved. She just said, I love you, and I don't know what's happening. You know, you're changing, and you're 19, and I want the buddy that I used to have. And at that point, I think it's going to work out. And I think... they've just about got it done. And then there's a moment, and he says, because he won't let it go, he says, okay, well, I'm going to go to work. Sorry, I'm not perfect. Sorry, I'm not just the way you'd like me to be.
Oh, no.
Sorry that I just can't live up to whatever level it is that you want. Okay, bye. And he leaves, and then she's sitting there. And I said to her, I love you more than anything. You call your sister and you uninvite her over from coming over to our house today. I said, today, no visitors.
Right.
No salutations. Too much.
Too much.
Too friggin'.
Too many.
Too friggin' much. So now I've started a countdown clock. There are less than 22 days until my son goes back to college.
Wow.
And now I'm going to be marking off every day.
You think things are going to get better between your son and your wife?
I think, yes, but I don't think in 3 weeks.
Right.
They're both pretty pissed at each other. And, you know, listen, he's wrong. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
He's wrong. I'm on her side. I mean, he's wrong. I'm the parent. She's the kid.
Right.
He's wrong. But outside of chopping...
You're the parent, he's the kid.
Yeah, what did I say?
You said she's the kid, and I want you to correct that.
Yeah, probably should.
Please correct that. I'm just here trying to help.
Thank you. I'm just jumping through hoops right now, trying to fill this in a way that might be moderately entertaining, while at the same time allowing me to cleanse myself so that I can actually do the friggin' show today.
I think anybody that knows this show knows you're purging right now.
Mm-hmm. So that...
knows how important it is.
That's all there is to that. And all of them are just fine now. That's it. They're fine, and things are great. And it's the countdown, and I'll just be taking him back to not that he has to be taken back to college, but there has to be a second car driven with his crap to get him back to college. That was going to be something we were all going to do. Now it's going to be something that just I will do.
Okay. Well, then I'm 3 weeks away.
Dan, I'm down with that, too, but not a chance, Buzz.
No.
Not a chance.
Okay.
No, I want to tell you something. You have, I thought that Frieda was the most stubborn person in the world. I now am realizing that Frankenstein, my son, is, and that not only is he the most stubborn person in the world, but he's, you know, about so many things, he's just, I mean, listen, I love him, but he's so totally upside down wrong about so many basic social skills that it drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It drives me nuts. But I said to my wife, I said, like, okay, I asked him to drive you to the radio station. He didn't do it. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
It's like, okay, so I'm disappointed. That would be what time number... that I've been disappointed by my kid.
That'd be the straw that broke the camel's back.
And that's what she said.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was going on all freaking weekend, and it wasn't until last night that they kind of got it resolved.
And everything calmed down a little bit?
A little bit. Although, you know, as I was eavesdropping, I was upstairs listening to this downstairs, the fact that I could hear their voices would indicate the fact that they were speaking at...
Still at a decent level.
Yeah, at a pretty good clip.
Right, but there weren't any wire hangers or anything like that.
No, and listen...
Not anymore.
Frieda kept it in her arsenal. I want to say this about her, that she said some things to my kid that I won't repeat here.
All right.
But she could have, like anybody, she could have said, hey, hola.
Hey, Pop.
Hey, welcome to the show. Is Mom there?
She's on the phone.
She's on the phone?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've spent a little bit of time talking about you.
Good or bad?
Well, I've been describing the incredible weekend you guys put us through.
I thought it was a pretty good weekend. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Okay. All right, Ron Burgundy. Nice talking to you.
What? Are you pissing me now?
No. I'm past everything. I'm revisiting everything that happened this weekend.
Why? It's over with.
Ever forward.
It's true.
That's right.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Who's Mom on the phone with?
Insurance company.
Oh, okay.
Life insurance.
Oh, no.
Oh, right. More good news for you. That's another win in your column.
Winner! Oh, okay. Son of the year.
All right. Talk to you later. I love you. I'll see you. Be good. Treat her nice, okay? Come on.
Always.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Get out of here. Okay, so, Mike,
not a word, please.
Not a word. Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No need.
I appreciate that. So, that's me. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing, now I'm doing well.
Good to purge.
Now that, and look at that.
Before, I know sometimes you need this job.
I would have gone on like an hour in a previous life. Look at how efficient I am. It's 22 minutes after 3. That's pretty good.
That's a good thing.
Now I can tell you about some of the fun stuff.
Good.
Okay, so, we're at this Ravens party.
Yes.
And, David Modell, who is a good guy, he's an associate of mine. I'm really not sure. Here's the thing. When I talked about going to this party last week, I said, I imagine that they had filled the list, and they said, well, Marty Bass is unavailable. How about Don? Okay. Marty Bass is the weather guy on Channel 13. Hey, Gary, it's Marty Bass.
Sorry, gotta go trout fishing. Can't make it on time.
So, our history with Marty Bass is as follows. We don't have a history with this guy. He's a weather guy. We goof on him because he is Mr. Baltimore.
Yeah, and he's always like, I don't even know if he's originally from Baltimore, but he's always had that kind of, here we are, folksy kind of perfect Baltimore. He's like the perfect Baltimore TV guy.
So around the time that Lance Bass was popular, when Lance Bass wanted to go into space,
That's right. We made up this thing about Lance Bass being Marty Bass's cousin.
Hey there, boy. That's great. I'm real happy for
We're
you.
We're going to Baltimore. So
innocent joke.
We do it. We don't think anything about it. Right.
Mike goes, he's the personification of our... impression of Baltimore, right?
Mike goes out and plays golf one day with a friend of his, and the friend says, what, it's about Marty Bass, do you remember?
Yeah, I said he bumped into Marty Bass, I think mentioned our names, and Marty Bass said something that really is not necessarily repeatable on the air about us, and I don't know whether it was lighthearted or not, but it was, it was just a comment made about...
I mean,
he was... My buddy indicated to me that... Marty Bass knew that we do that shtick on him, and we have a lot of fun at his expense.
So, and as I recall, your friend even called in that day, or maybe the next day, to confirm this. So we don't, and again, it's nothing big, but it's just a little thing.
Right.
Imagine my surprise when I walk through the door.
Somewhere with holes in it.
So I'm coming through. I'm coming through the door, and I'm just getting done with this 90-minute no conversation, thick as fog in there, the tension so thick in my car. Get out of the car. We're walking into this place in Baltimore where this party is being held Friday night. We see David Modell at the door, and he comes out and he says, hey, how you doing?
Good.
And then his wife comes over, and she says, hey, listen, I hope that you don't mind. I put you at Marty Bass's table. And I said...
David Modell did that?
Yeah, and I said, because I thought she was kidding, I said... You're crazy, okay?
Right, right.
You're crazy.
I like you.
So I said, you're crazy. And then she called me inside. She said, no, listen, hold on, really, seriously. Are you, like, mad at that guy? I said, no, not at all. Why? She said, Because he's really here.
Morty Bad.
And he's really at your table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this, of course, is not a surprise to Mike, not a surprise to Rob, since I immediately went out to the lobby to call both of them to say, you're not going to believe this. I got to sit down with Marty Bass. So I sit down, I see this guy, and I go over and go, hey, what's happening? And he's very nice, and he's, hey, how you doing here, boy?
Right.
You know, I mean, whatever you know, he says. And I said, so what's the deal? Do you hate us? And he said, no, I don't hate you.
Right.
And I said, I related the story. I said, well, Mike was golfing with a guy, and he got very indignant and said, you get that golfer on the air, and I did not say that. Uh-huh. And more than one time came to me and kept saying over and over again, you know, I don't ever remember saying anything about you. But I'm pretty sure that he did.
Sure he did.
Because he was giving me the same kind of crap that I give somebody when I see them, and it's
right.
I've talked about that, you know. You go, okay, all right, you know, you did it. You did it, you said it.
Yeah, and it's good to have a leg up on that when you haven't seen the guy in a while.
So, it's what I think is going to be awkward ends up being very nice.
Good.
Because not only do I spend the better part of the evening with Marty and his wife, and we chat, but I've got all of Marty's numbers here. So after we take a break, we get to have Beth Ann call him and see if
wonderful.
He wants to, see if he wants to come on the air and clear the air with us.
Good. Good. That'll be wonderful.
Whatever this is going on.
That'll be delightful.
So that was that was funny. That was funny. Then it was funny when I spent some quality time with, and I don't want to screw this guy's name up, because this is the guy who really, I want to plant my lips to this guy's rear. Steve Biscotti.
Oh, the owner of the name? New owner of the Baltimore Ravens.
New owner of the Ravens.
Is it, do you have the name right?
No, I'm sure I don't.
Because that's a, you know, that's an Italian pastry, or Italian cookie.
I believe his name is,
Is it Biscotti?
The translation is sprayed on tan.
Wow, that's great. Well, you've assured yourself.
I can say that because right. He knows I'm a kidder.
He's a tan man, is he?
He's a naturally tanned
yes,
man.
Yes, of course.
He's a big man. He's
a lot of moose in the hair this time, too.
Strong man. No, the hair seemed to be dry. Seemed to be dry.
That's good.
You know me. I get around the people that I consider to be important.
Yes, bigwigs.
And then I just will not let go. You
right.
know me. I
right.
mean, it's like the guy's shaking my hand, and I got mm-hmm. the death grip on there. Like,
sure.
Hey, wow, what kind of cologne you wearing? You sure do smell. Wow, you own a football team. Wow, you sure are damn. Meanwhile, the whole while, I'm just working his arm.
Sure.
And there was other people there, much more important than him, like senators and famous people that I saw and just
exciting.
Don't remember their names.
Any football luminaries there?
Yeah, Ozzie Newsome was there.
Right.
Lots of people from the Ravens were there. I wasn't so gone that I don't remember everything, but it's one of those things where, you know what I mean? I had a good time.
Right.
I blew off some steam.
You,
I had
you needed that.
Had
sure.
had a really, really good time.
Did you get any one-on-one time with BB?
Just a passing glance from BB, from Mr. Billick.
Did you remind him that you were Stu Nahan?
But the new owner, you went from the old owner to the new owner, huh?
Yeah, right. I had both of them right there. They were sitting at the same table.
Because you didn't think he was going to be there. So that's a good thing.
Shrewd political move for him to be there.
Yeah, very much so.
And I spent the rest of the night talking to some guy. I mean, I came home like a whore with all of these business cards, with all of these people who I'm never going to want to talk to again. Because, you know, let's face it, I'm a disc jockey, and it's like some guy who, one of the guys was, I'm sitting at a table, and the guy goes, so, you a football fan? Yeah, of course I'm a football fan. You know the Tampa Bay jerseys, the new helmets? I said, yeah. It's my baby. What? So right away. You know,
he's a designer?
I'm gay for this guy. So
right.
You did that?
Well, you love uniforms.
So
yeah.
Yeah, well, would you like a card? You know, so of course, I walk out. Meanwhile, everybody's asking me for a card, and I'm saying to my wife, honey, do you have something I can write my phone number down on?
Yeah, we don't carry cards.
No, but I don't want to talk to these people. They're they're nice to meet at a party, and they're fascinating to meet at a party. But
you want to be on and gone.
I don't want to have any conversations with them, but it was just a great time. And I think the moment that best sums up the night, the tone of this party for the marriage of these two people, David and Michelle, was when I guess about 1:15 in the morning, just those of us who were still just hanging on, and I'm in this class, just refuse to leave.
Right.
Because they haven't said to leave yet, so we're still there. Even though Frida's giving me the dirty eyeball, like, from 12:30, like, come on, pal.
Here we go!
Wind it up. all I remember was at some point, and I don't want to say who it was, but some woman pulled out her fake breasts. She had those things. We've talked about them on the air before.
Oh, the same kind of Barbara Walters brought, or that Joy Behar brought out?
No.
They're
not,
made
not
out
those,
of plastic?
No. They look, they're like little jello-y things.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
The
pad that goes in the bra.
The pad that goes in the bra.
Was one of these, I'm exhausted.
It's like you were there. And plop, plop. right down on the table.
That had to be a good plot.
Right down on the table.
Wow.
And I don't want to say whose they were because there were four or five different women.
Yeah. It was Marty Bass. Sorry, Marty. No, I'm not.
I smelled them.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd they smell?
Sweaty.
Yay!
Yeah, they did. They smelled mighty sweaty.
Really?
I think it was a good intimate gathering, and I thank them for inviting us. And we had a nice time, and then Marty Bass. Oh, and then we went to the movies, and we saw the Bourne Supremacy over the weekend.
I got mixed reviews on that. How did you like it?
We loved it. We absolutely, even Frieda liked it. You know, she didn't like anything that I liked.
Matt Damon's terrific. I'm glad you liked it.
Here's the thing when you go to see a movie like this, where obviously the demos are, we were surprised that we were at like, I don't know what time the show was. It was an early show. We had a lot of old people there.
Right.
A lot older than us. You know, and
kind of a thinking man's thriller.
And as we're sitting there, I'm realizing that we're going to have a different animal in this theater because most of the people had gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get talkers, but we're going to get the talkers who are actually loud whisperers.
Right.
And there was one guy behind us, and I won't bother calling her now because she's got enough going on, but she would verify. This guy, here's like the movie would be playing, and he would say, if he goes in there, he's gonna get shot. And he would say it loud enough so that, like, heads from three rows away would turn.
Just one of these people that has to communicate,
And all the time, everything, it's...
Bastard.
You know who's waiting behind that door? You know, don't go... And he actually said one time, don't go in there. And the only time that I even slightly got into it with this guy was he said... Don't go in there. Don't go in there. And as it turns out, it's a wasted scene where Matt Damon doesn't go into this room anyway. And I turned around and I said, boy, it's a good thing he took your advice. And it was just...
Now go die.
It was over the guy's head. Yeah,
but a good movie.
He had no idea. And yeah, I would... Now that's, you know, I know a lot of you gave me crap about Anchorman.
Right.
You give me... I'll say, the Bourne Identity, or Bourne whatever this
Bourne
is.
Bourne Supremacy.
Supremacy.
Yes.
Still not as good as Anchorman.
All right.
But... It's good. It's worth your money.
Good.
It's worth your money. And he's good.
I like Matt Damon.
He's good. I mean, I'm not queer for him, but he's good.
I am.
And then tonight we're going out with our good friends, Buzz and Marsha.
Yes. It's today. Today's the day, right?
That's right.
Congratulations,
Thank
Buzz.
You. 29
today,
years.
29 years mm-hmm. married for our friend,
Thank
Buzz Gerdin,
Bravo.
And his wife, Marsha. There you go.
Yes. Congratulations, Buzz.
Thank you.
And what would you like to say on this this special day, Buzz?
A happy anniversary to us, and I love you, Marcia. Unfortunately, she can't hear me because she's at work.
You're an incurable romantic.
It's on the record.
Anything more than that? Is that it?
That'd be funny.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's Don and Mike, and it's big, baby, big.
Kick-est ridiculous locus. The Don and Mike Show.
Ah, yes, it's the best of Don and Mike with the Ronettes on in the background. This is probably my favorite song ever. Did you know that? You know who hates it? Our production guy, John Norman, hates it. Me, love it. Okay, moving on with the best of Don and Mike, Tammy Nakamura. Not only is her name fun to say, Tammy Nakamura, she was the first lady on the show Trading Spouses. She had to live with the Biggins. Do you remember the Biggins? Of course you do. White mom, black family, Tammy Nakamura on the best of Don and Mike.
Here is Tammy Nakamura. Hey, Tammy.
Good morning, or should I say afternoon?
Yes, good afternoon. Yes. Tammy is the mom from the Fox show Trading Spouses. And if you've seen the commercials, she's the white lady who moves in with the African-American family, and at least in the clip that they're running on the show that premieres tonight at 8, 7 Central on Fox, she's pictured going into the kids' bedroom saying, I don't like rap music.
Oh, dear.
Still don't. Even after the show, I still don't.
You didn't come around on rap music, huh?
Oh, that's one I'm trying, but I sure haven't got there yet.
Now, Tammy, for goodness sakes, how did you get roped into doing this. And how long will you be living with this other family as their mom?
Now, it's already been filmed, and it was for 7 days.
Seven days. And let's get this up front. There was nothing conjugal about. I mean, you didn't really switch. You didn't fulfill marital obligations.
Oh, absolutely not. No, that wasn't part of the show.
Right.
I would put my foot down on that one.
Yeah. You transplanted yourself into another family for 7 days. And how does somebody get into an experience? I mean, do you audition? What happens, or do they find you? Where does this stuff germinate?
Well, how I was found was a girlfriend of mine does some casting for shows in Dallas when they're looking for people, and she heard the premise of the show and called and said, "Tammy, your family would be perfect for this. Will you give it a shot?" And I said, "Sure," not thinking anything about it, and the ball kept rolling, and apparently they had about 5,000 families and got it down to 10, and we were one of those 10 families.
Now, do you think that the luck of the draw played into it, or is it the fact that in this group, at least, you've got all the demographics, you've got all of the different groups, you've got, you know, white, black, Asian, everybody living together. Is that one reason that you got hooked up with this particular family? And golly, what was the best thing and the worst thing about living with this other family?
Well, first of all, I don't know how they came up with picking the family, so I can't say why they picked the, you know, black, white, Asian, that sort of thing. I think just kind of it gave them a little diversity, probably.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of sexy, the mingling of the races.
Absolutely. Sexy. I love it.
Oh, and I never think anything about it. I think the media makes a lot more of it than I make of it, that is for sure.
Now, what do you mean by that? When you say the media makes a lot about the show, do you think the media is making a lot about it because of the ethnic diversity that's involved here?
I think that's a part of it. I think it's basically, you know, the economic levels of the two, which I never even looked at because they made it look like I'm an affluent. They made me the bad Erica Kane.
Made you into a bad lady on
the
show?
Reality. Well, somebody's got to be, and I'm okay with that. I was glad that they didn't make my family look that way.
So they just made you look. They just made you look bad, and you know that already before the show's even going to air. You know that they've cut it up so that you look bad.
No, the show aired last week, but they're showing this segment this evening, and then the second part of it will be shown tomorrow evening.
Gotcha.
I've already seen the first show.
So tonight is a rebroadcast of the original one of the first episode.
It sounds like you're not all that thrilled with the way you came across on the show, the way they made you look.
Oh, well, it's not me, but then that's reality. I mean, where's the real in reality?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, other people have said that have been on reality shows that they kind of feel double-crossed a little bit because at the end of the day, the way the editing works and the way they put the whole thing together, yeah, you know, as you said, they have to have a villain that, you know, somebody is not real happy with the way they came out. And is that what happened in your case?
Well, I wouldn't have portrayed myself that way because that's not the way that I am. But you don't get on something and somebody give you $50,000 just to look like Cinderella sometimes.
Right, so explain to us how you win the money, because it's either you or the other mom that wins the money, right?
No, we both get it.
Oh, you're both?
We both do. Our family gets $50,000 and her family gets $50,000. She decides how our family spends our money, and I decide how their family spends their money.
Well, you know, if you decide that, what is the most controversial decision you made with that family?
Well, I can't tell you, or I'd probably have to tell you.
Oh, that's right. It's
that's
a secret until you got to watch the show.
That's right. Now, imagine the crazy racial stuff when you've got a white woman moving in with a black family as their mom. Now, on the other hand, you have a black woman moving into a family where your husband is Japanese?
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you've got kids?
Yes, we do. Two children.
So you got two kids. So now you got, you know, this is like a sitcom.
It's incredible.
Now you say, okay, hold on. Let's take the black lady and put her in with the Asian kids. And hold on, but the Asian kids, their mom is white. What was it like? We're looking at it just from the standpoint of a white woman going into the black home. What was it like for the other woman going into your home? Do you know what did your family say about that, about her?
Well, my family had a great time because that's the way we've raised our kids, is just to be comfortable in any situation. As far as how they felt...
You haven't raised them to be afraid of black people?
Say that again?
I was making a joke.
That was a joke.
That was a joke.
Yes, that was a joke. Go ahead, Tammy.
I don't even look at it as a racial thing, and they made it more a racial thing. I didn't even look at it that way because that's not the way that I am, but they made it that way. Mm.
Do you think that do you think you come and people watching the show might come across as seeing you and saying, you know, hey, this is a lady that that doesn't have a lot of understanding in that regard, or what?
No, not the racial part. I think more the economic level as we tried to make it.
Oh, so they make you out to be kind of a richy lady. Rich, right? Like a rich lady?
You know,
For
anybody listening to our show now who didn't see it last week, and I didn't see it, but I'll watch it tonight, without ballpark, you know, are you rich? Are you middle class in real life, you and your husband?
Well, let's put it this way. I don't have to worry about where my next meal comes from, hopefully, but you never know. That could be taken away tomorrow.
Okay, so you do okay, then. You do all right.
And financially, how would you summarize the other family? I mean, without putting them down, just realistically, middle class, lower middle class?
Well, let me say one thing. They portrayed me as being the rich, white snob who never gets up off the couch but barks orders around. I've worked every day for the last 10 years. I own my own business as well as my husband. I didn't come from affluent families at all, nor did my husband.
Let me ask you something, darling. It's a question I've asked my own wife. Do you believe in such
a... Say that again?
It's a question I've asked my own wife, and I ask you. Do you believe that there could be... And this has nothing to do with your show. This is just my own profile of you. Do you believe that there's such a thing as a sale at Neiman Marcus?
I don't know. I don't shop at Neiman Marcus, so I couldn't tell you.
There's a feather in your
head. You've already passed. So you mentioned Dallas, and I thought, okay, the whole Neiman Marcus.
Well, Don asked you earlier, what was the best thing about it? What was the best thing about the experience?
Getting to meet the Biggins family. They will be friends of ours for life.
The Biggins family? Good.
Are you a good cook?
I can get by, and they made it look like I never cooked a meal in my life, and I cooked every meal while I was over there.
Now, Tammy, hold on. Tammy, I got to ask you, you can get by. What does that mean, you can get by?
My children definitely eat what I cook.
All right, hold on.
Here's another cryptic comment.
Here's Sarah in California, who saw the show last week, wants to talk to Tammy. Sarah.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Hi. We're doing great, Sarah. Go ahead. You're on with Tammy from the Fox show, Training Spouses.
Tammy, she is beyond rich. I just want to say that she's trying to say that she wasn't, or she's set for life.
Now, calm down. Speak directly to her. At least have the decency to do
that. She's on the phone.
I'm sorry. Hi, Tammy. Nice to meet you. Let me just say that ahead of time. And it was really weird to see the difference of both families because they're complete opposites. That's all I'm trying to say, is that she has a great life, and these families just didn't seem like it. It was really weird.
Tammy, do you think that's an accurate statement, that the families are complete opposites?
And they're not supposed to be able to say that they don't have a great life just because they don't have as much money as I do. That's just prejudging on seeing 30 minutes on the air. Yes, I have more money than them. There is no question about that. But I didn't grow up with any money at all. So I've been in the same position they have, and they have a wonderful life, because the bottom line is, if you've got a good core family that teaches your kids respect,
right,
your kids' values, it doesn't matter what economic level you are.
I agree with that completely. I saw that from the other side of the family, but with your side, it just seemed like you were a little more... Oh, I have to do this. You know, oh, I'm hungry. Somebody feed me.
Tammy, don't you think
that maybe they followed me around with a camera for 8 days and they made the show 30 minutes? Don't you think a little
stuff was left laying
on the floor there, maybe?
Yeah, I'm sure they could do that, too. It's just the way they presented you just seems completely...
I think we could all agree. Don't pity the Biggins. Let's not pity the Biggins.
Amen.
They have a wonderful family. They have a wonderful life.
Okay, because that's what I thought, too. I just want to say my comments on that.
Okay, see you later.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
Okay, thank you very much.
And let's not pick on Tammy because she can't cook and maybe she's a little too comfortable.
All right, hold on. Here is Doug, also from California. Doug, you're on with Tammy from Training Spouses. What's happening, dude?
Hey, this lady is a robo snob.
Wait a minute. Now, hold on. Tammy,
stop the assault.
Hold on, sir. I want to ask Tammy. Tammy, are you getting this a lot? Obviously, you've done some other radio shows. Are you getting this a lot from people?
Of course saying, because that's the way that they made me out to be. I'm the bad guy. I'm the Erica Kane of reality shows. And you saw 30 minutes of 8 days, and that's...
Hey, what about...
Hold on. Doug, very simply, what is your question?
I don't have a question. It's just that she's just a robo-snob. What? I mean, she's sitting there blow-drying her hair and having the kid sit in the closet every time the fuse breaks.
Doug, isn't it possible?
Because of all the equipment that was plugged in from the production company.
I must say something in Tammy's behalf here.
Yeah.
I've seen the scene that Fox sent over that they're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Whenever she's going to plug in the blow dryer,
right,
the fuse breaks. So what she says to one of the kids is, go downstairs by the fuse box, and every time I plug the hair dryer in...
No, the kid's in the closet.
Well, is that where the
room was?
Where the fuse box was, sir.
He didn't lock her in the closet the way I want to lock my kid in the closet.
That's how it was on the show.
No. Listen, but I saw the clip. It was very... you know what she said? Go in the closet where the fuses are, and when it goes off, turn the fuse back on. I thought it was a funny part of the show. I didn't think she came off as a snob. My thought would be... use a towel.
What did you say about the show, Doug?
Just watch the show, and you'll agree with me tomorrow morning.
But, Doug, isn't it possible that the editing of the show, that they cut out the good things about Tammy and left in the bad things to make you think that she's a bad person? Is that possible?
It could be, but I doubt it.
All right. Welcome to reality television.
Hold on.
Watching a TV show for 30 minutes, of course it's possible, and that's exactly what they did, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know.
What are you going to do?
I think everybody's got a point. Do you think at the end of the whole run of the show, Tammy, that people might feel differently about you?
I don't know, because I haven't seen the end of the show, but from the clips and from what I've seen... Next week, I'm going to be a really big villain.
Hold on, Tammy. I think I do have one positive call for you. Here is Matt in Iowa. Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, hey, Don and Mike show. What's happening?
How much? Hey, guys, Tammy is a definite MILF. MILF.
Oh, that's a compliment.
So you're a hottie, right, Tammy?
What's a MILF?
I'm going to have to tell you after we get on. Listen, Fox is telling us your time is up with us. So Tammy,
but it means that you're an attractive woman.
Yes, that was a compliment, Tammy. Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Oh, and Tammy, one last thing before you go. For a prize, can you name this rap artist?
Hold on, take a listen.
I'll give you a hint. The first the word of this, the name is Cool.
Magoon. Cool Hand Luke.
No, I'm sorry. Of course, it's Cool Modi, but still we will ask everybody to watch Trading Spouses tonight, 8, 7 Central, then a new episode tomorrow on Fox. Tammy, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Good luck to you.
Like a doctor when I rock the pipe.
How are you anyway?
Cool Modi.
Video.
Turning Japanese.
Wow.
So there she is, Tammy Nakamura.
Boy, I tell you, was that... We've had a lot of reality people on. Is that an ad for the show or what?
Oh, yeah.
I want to watch it right now.
You know, the only word that I she was nice, as nice as those type come.
What does that mean?
Well, she's evil. She came across as kind of hard.
Huh? Here's the thing. White trash. I'm going to have to watch the show myself to see how rich. But it's entirely possible to be rich and be white trash.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Sure.
Hold on, what is this? Rob's got something else.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video. Tom Monroe from his latest disc entitled Tom Monroe on a New Wavelength.
Thank you.
And that's a pretty thing called Turning Japanese.
that's Tammy from the Fox show.
Wow.
There she goes. Hold on. Boy, everybody, I guess a lot of people watched that dumb show last week.
Sure.
Bonnie?
Yes.
Hi, did you watch the show last week, Trading Spouses?
I did watch it, and I just wanted to say, too, that it's such a huge understatement for her to say that she's not rich. And I wanted to say one thing real quick about the editing.
Yeah?
When the black mom was in their house and they introduced her to their dog, they said, oh, here's our dog, and she said, oh, I have a dog, too. And they showed this white and Japanese family's dog swimming in the pool and running around in the house, and then they pan back to the black family's dog, and he's tied up in like a little pen, and he's like crying when they showed it. So they made
editing.
A big deal out of the
Hold
one.
Exactly. I sure am tired. Honey, I'm tied to a rope. Only because my mommy and daddy are black.
Oh,
and look
God.
At the white man. Oh, not even the white man.
The Asian man.
The Asian man and the white woman. Look at that dog swimming in the pool.
Good old fox.
Wow.
That's exactly what they did.
Never overestimate the Fox Network.
Hello there. This am the black dog. You may notice I am tied to the tree with a rope. The white dog am swimming in a pool.
Oh, this show sounds like something else.
Wow. All right, thank you, Bonnie.
Wow.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. See you later. I had no idea so many people watched that show.
Pretty incredible.
Maybe. Hello, Don and Mike. What's another call about this stupid show? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, you're on the air. Are you calling about this show, too?
Yeah, well, kind of, yeah. She kept saying that she want, you know, they only showed a half an hour of it, and a half an hour. They showed the full hour. Yeah, they cut it up and everything, but yeah, I understand they cut shows and make them crazy, but she's a little bit crazy herself.
Man, this lady may be the new Uber villain as far as reality.
But here's the thing that worried me about her, that she referred to herself as such a, I am the Erica Kane.
I'm the new Erica Kane.
She's embraced that.
There you go.
And I'm not saying she's a good person, but I worry about how editing can actually manipulate people's opinions, and I think the dog was a perfect example.
And I don't care because they mentioned the MILF factor. Hello, Brian? Don and Mike show, Brian.
I think she was wonderful, and I like having her money in Beverly Hills Bank.
he was just doing some Milburn Drysdale for us.
Oh, that's the Beverly Hills Savings and Loan.
Thank you to Tammy Nakamura.
Ms. Nakamura, this is Milburn Drysdale. We'd love to have you and your Japanese husband's money down at the Beverly Hills Savings and Loan.
And this is Scott Shannon. Good morning to the very dirt poor bigots. How are you doing this morning?
Well, for God's sakes, uncage that dog.
Hello, Jerry, Don, and Mike. Jerry.
Hey.
Hey.
You're missing the best character in the whole show is Tammy's mother-in-law, who lives with him. And she's Japanese.
And
she's their little slave. She does all the cooking, all the housework. And the Japanese guy leaves the house. He says, make sure Tammy is taken care of today.
There's no ratings.
I am not kidding.
You know, I had no idea.
Oh, Lord.
I had no idea all you people were watching this show. And you know that there's an ABC show
right.
that Fox is getting some bad press on, called, you know, Trading Spouses, or
what is it? Fox show.
This is Trading Spouses. The other one is something
like Wife Swap.
That's what I mean.
They all feed off of one another.
And ABC is mad that Fox has already come out with it. All right. Thank you, dude.
Sure.
See you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Interesting.
Key Rice. That's a lot. That's a lot on one dumb reality show.
No kidding.
That's a ringing endorsement for that show today.
I guess so.
Buzz?
Yes.
I know it's late notice, but I'm afraid I will have to cancel on our plans tonight.
Yes, I understand. You've got to watch the show.
I can't meet you and your wife for your 29th wedding anniversary. You're going to have to go home tonight and watch Trading Spouses.
Perhaps I can T-vote for you.
Yeah, please do. Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike, about that last comment, you're on your own.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the wrong radio show in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong host, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, it's your old buddy Rob Spiewak bringing you the best of Don and Mike here. We got, this is a great segment as we examine the seasons of a man's life. Yes, let's look at Mike O'Mara. Mike took a trip up, this is a while back, long before the Red Sox were the world champions. Mike spends a weekend at Fenway Park. And again, we can examine the seasons of a man's life. The segment of the best of the, this segment of the best of Don and Mike begins after the annoying laser sound effect. So please, stay tuned.
So Mike was in Boston this weekend.
I was.
First, can we get a statement from you about our Red Sox-Yankees bet? Most people know the stakes for our yearly bet.
Friday night, it was a three-game series. Friday night, I was still back here in Washington, and I hadn't left for Boston.
And I was very, very depressed because the Red Sox lost to the Yankees. And I think I was indicating to you that based on how the weekend went, I would come in here prepared to concede the bet.
And our annual bet is, as terms set by Mike before the season,
right,
that the Red Sox would win the American League East
right.
by two games.
Yes.
And if they didn't, the loser, either Mike or myself, has to
give Tom... be in here a full-body massage for Tom Gatton.
Tom the Monster, he's naked with a towel on, everything including glutes, feet.
Just like a regular body massage where he lies out on the table, we do the back... And we're not. We both agree we're not doing the front.
Correct. But
we're not
going
to do. But he will lie on his stomach. I will work his neck, and his ankles,
and his glutes, and
his glutes,
quads,
and I will get under the pits.
His feet. You said it, not me.
And his feet. And I was prepared after Friday night. I was feeling very depressed, but based on the turn of events this weekend, because the Red Sox did win. Two games in a row from the Yankees, and because I never say die, I am not
Good
prepared to concede the bet at this time.
Good for you, Mike.
Mathematically and statistically and historically, the Red Sox are not supposed to be able to catch the Yankees. But, you know, you've certainly got a, and not mathematically, actually they're in it mathematically. Historically, you know, they were giving all the stats about the Yankees when they're this far in advance. But you know what? Going into Saturday's game, they were given those statistics, too, where the Yankees, with a two-run lead or a one-run lead going into the eighth inning, they were undefeated, and Mariano Rivera hadn't given up any homers.
So right now...
They came back, and they won with a walk-off home run at the last of the ninth inning in the Saturday game.
The way that we...
Which I did not see at the stadium, I have to confess. I had left the stadium earlier due to an extreme case of festiveness. I was tired.
The games behind in our column right now for you and me on our show.
Nine and a half games.
July 26th, Monday, July 26th, which incidentally would be Tuesday, the 27th.
In the event that
you're listening to the show in Austin, Texas.
Right. In the event that the Red Sox caught the Yankees and they led by a half a game, I would still have to pay the bet off. I would do so gleefully if that happens. But I also, hold out the chance that I might concede early if things get out of touch just to get rid of it and make sure it happened. But this is, I go to the game one time a year. I go to a game once a year up in Boston, and this is my
weekend. I was
watching
last night on ESPN.
I bought these tickets, I think, in February.
Saying it's the toughest ticket to find. They showed, like, Katie Couric, who looked like she couldn't care less that she was at a Red Sox game. But they were
Katie
saying...
Katie Couric was just all over the place in, like, this pink wrap that she had on, this big pink, and she was just everywhere. I got these seats a long time ago, pulled a lot of strings to get these seats, and so I was in back of the Red Sox dugout. I was down probably, I would say, about 50 feet away from John Kerry when he came walking in. And the media, when they came in there, it was amazing. I mean, they were just, it was one of those scenes where you hear about paparazzi getting into fights and stuff.
Right.
They had to push them back. And again, this like press aide was down there saying, please get back, please get back. So, Don, it was electricity. In the ballpark, but I wasn't feeling totally electric yesterday because I flew up on Saturday to the big ball game and started celebrating because I was so excited. It's like it's a weekend, but to me it was like, you know, like a two-week vacation. That's how excited I was when I
you gotta tell everybody the plane ride up to Boston. Mike had a bottle of champagne and how many beers?
Two beers. About an hour flight.
Wow.
Like 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
So when you arrived...
time became
when you arrived, silly. When you arrived in Boston, it was already like St. Patrick's Day, right?
It was. It was great. And, I had just enough time to check into the hotel and whisk over to the ballpark to go buy souvenirs and, lots of security. They had a different kind of... They had kind of a configuration there that was different where they check your ticket like in this perimeter before you even... normally you go into a ballpark and they check it at like a gate.
Well, it's obviously...
They might do that all the time. I don't know.
The whole thing with the Democratic Convention in Boston.
Security. Well, I thought it was because I was coming to town that they were doing this. But I got there and we were having serious good times.
So you brought your girlfriend, right?
Yes,
you and Carla went?
Carla and I went up to Boston, and it was so much fun. You know, that's like Christmas for me. When I get to see the Red Sox Yankees in Boston, I get to go back
you
to
love
England,
it.
Where I'm from, and I'm just, everybody's my buddy. You know, we had lunch and in this bar right outside the stadium, and I'm talking to this old guy who was talking about seeing Ted Williams, and I'm like, that's really great. That is really, really great. You're great. You're just great. And then, of course, I go to the game, and I didn't focus. Like,
as much time and effort I put into getting these tickets, I should have been a better fan on Saturday. But I had unfortunately had a little too much day in advance of the game, and so I started to get angry. I almost got into an altercation with a guy when we sat down at the very first part of the game, because I'm there and I get there once a year, okay? And when you're down close, these are great tickets. This is gold to me. This is the greatest thing.
Good seat.
These are the greatest tickets in the world. I was so excited about it. I believe, and this is for any sporting event, and you tell me whether you disagree or not.
All right.
I know it's before the game, okay? But you know what?
What?
People that are in the first three rows, I think they, you know, I understand people come from other sections and stand up. But the people that have their tickets, sit down.
I agree.
Sit the hell down.
But here's the thing.
So right before they were going to take the field, I sat down in front to these guys, and they got into my kitchen big time. The guy's like, I've been coming here. You know, Boston Rob in front of me says, I've been coming here 40 years. I'm like, well, you know what? I come once a year, and I'd like to be able to see, my girlfriend and I would like to be able to see the field just for, well, there, you don't know, there, BS. And I said, don't say BS. And, and I wasn't going to go any further with it because he's got his kid there, and I wasn't going to lecture him on saying BS in front of his kid, which I thought was a pretty classless move anyway. Yeah. But at that very moment, when that happened, I looked down and looked at the ticket. And realized I was in the wrong section.
Oh.
So we had to go like two sections over. It was very festive and probably good.
I missed a lot of the game when I was there
because I was between going to the restroom and going to get another beer.
And smoking
illegally.
Yes.
And they whisk you away. You go up into this little rampway and they whisk you away. And then everybody comes back and does it again and they whisk you away. And I got my third warning and was told, you're going to be thrown out of here. You're going to be thrown out of here if you smoke another... If you smoke another cigarette there... So they said, I mean, really, it was just because I had a couple of, I always say it's the greatest fans in sports, and I had, I just had a couple of runners.
Here's the thing with Mike. The stages of
Saturday was kind of a wasted day.
The seasons of a man's life.
Yes.
In Mike's case, I know Mike well enough to know, started early in the day, a little uptight about the flight.
Right.
Had a couple of pops on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Got there, had a couple more pops, and even though you're in the happiest place on earth.
Yes.
For in your money.
Right, you know me when I travel.
For your money.
I'm a little testy.
Yeah, but still, you're happy.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm really excited, and it means a lot to me to be there, and I want to see what's going on.
And then you've gotten to the point where...
Then I go beyond the point where I even care where I am, and it's just a party, and I'm loving everybody, and it's great.
And
so then, I missed the fight.
I missed
the fight between A-Rod and Jason Varitek, which was all over the news.
But God forbid that you're the one person... Because Mike, when he drinks, is fantastic. He's more gregarious and outgoing than he is...
How are ya?
Yeah. But... God forbid that you're the person that gets in Mike's grill when you've had just one sip too much.
When the fatigue and everything combines, and if there's something... Yeah. In fact, the one issue I had with the guy was that he was using language, and so I there's no win in that situation. So I was real quiet, and then we moved to the other section. But then it just became kind of crazy, and I think we left, to the best of my knowledge, we left the game... Somewhere between the sixth and the eighth inning.
Now these are...
I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly when.
Buzz, I know you
I was frustrated because the Red Sox had given up a lead. Right.
I know you don't follow sports a lot.
Not much.
But I'll tell you, Red Sox, Yankees, especially now.
This I know.
This scenario at Fenway Park at this time of the year.
Huge. Yeah.
Impossible.
I mean, really, you want to talk about Super Bowl atmosphere, that's what it is.
With the convention up there.
Oh, yeah, all those convention.
And all those schmucks who would never normally, they're not like Mike, Red Sox fans, go to the game.
That's the way I was treated, and I resented that because, I'm a lot, I mean, that's all I care about in sports are the Red Sox. That's it. And so, left the game, went back to the hotel, watched the end of the game in the hotel. Carla...
That is a bad fan.
Well, I was angry, and I had that kind of defeatist because of Friday night, that bad attitude. But here's the thing. I'm leaving, and I'm like, forget it, I'm going to go back. But as soon as I get to the hotel, I turn the game on, and they're losing, and I'm watching the game, and I watch the whole game. And the game was like 4 hours long, so I'm watching almost half the game, it seemed, in the hotel watching this. And I'm just sitting there accepting the fact that, it's going to happen again, which is very normal for a Red Sox fan. You have that defeatist attitude, and you're accepting it, but you're going to watch... It's a combination. It's not really, I don't even want to call it hope. You watch it because it's kind of like you want to just experience the negativity or the miracle that might happen if they happen to win the game,
Well, what happens? They happen to... Carla is completely sound asleep at this point. And as soon as they hit the walk-off home run, I go, oh!
Yes! 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 We got to go out! We got to go out!
So we went out in Boston. He's happy again. Saturday night. And that was a very short-lived, short-lived
They say,
evening.
Tiger, that is classic Mike.
Yeah.
Where Mike has raved out at somebody, come back, called it an evening, and then suddenly something happens, and it's, let's go out again.
I had to, and you know what? I was dog tired. I didn't, but I felt I had to. I felt that I had been a bad fan at the Saturday game. I had left early, and I felt that I owed it.
Yeah.
To the Red Sox nation to go out on the town in Boston. But that didn't last very long because, you know, frankly, we were completely tapped out. And so, you know, after dinner, it was right back to the hotel. And then Sunday, you know, then the whole day, because the game's not until 8 o'clock, got the whole day in Boston to bop around, go down to Faneuil Hall, go down to where the, you know, the convention, you got all the conventioneers that are bopping around.
Right.
And then what I didn't expect, the added bonus, right after we ate lunch, we start walking around, and all of a sudden I said, what are we doing? We're going to get out. And this massive...
Oh, it's the convention
protest.
People, right?
Now, most people might see this and say, you know, hey, this is, you know, this is going to get hinky. Get out of here.
Right.
You know me. That's another thing with me. It's like, let's walk along with them. So we walk along with the anti-war protesters that are up there. And, you know, they've got anti-war protesters. They've got Haitian protesters. They've got gay and lesbian protesters. Right. And then the entire protest parade, not only was it followed up by the most amazing show of law enforcement I've ever seen, but there's this one guy in a devil hat with like a devil mask, and he's got the fake butt cheeks, you know, the plastic rubber butt cheeks, and we kind of followed him the whole way and hung out, and you know, none. No.
This is on the day after.
Day after. There was, you know, I mean, you know, even I have my limitations. Even though it was entertained for a brief moment. And then we both determined, no, this is impossible. Not after Saturday.
Here's what I do have to ask you. Because now I'm dying to know this answer.
Yes.
You told me in the office you wouldn't tell me until we got on the air.
Okay, I'm getting to that. We get to the game because we're at the game.
You're at the stadium and with now, the celebrities.
And you just before I tell you this, I will tell you that I went to that game, and because of the bad fandom, I said, I'm staying for the entire game. And I will sit in that seat. And I sat in my seat, not moving, not getting anything bending, not going to the bathroom, not getting a beer. I got one Diet Coke from a vendor who handed it to me when I was in my seat. I stayed there for the entire 9 innings. And I was close to all the John Kerry stuff. And, you know, celebrities are running around. You got John Cusack. And John Kerry's, like, throwing baseballs to people. Half the people are booing him. Half the people are cheering him. Mm-hmm. You've got all these senators coming out. You got Tim Russert coming down. Then all of a sudden, Tom Brokaw walks down, and he's shaking hands. And everybody's like, hey, like this. So halfway through the game, I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, boy, this is, you know, this is great. Great seats. I mean, really, best seats I've ever had at a baseball game.
Just last night we're talking about.
Last night
in Boston.
Sunday night baseball, you know, it's a nationally televised game. It's so exciting. I am an absolute baseball heaven in my own way, because I'm still, you know, as soon as they get close, I'd still go, you know, I'd still have my little meltdown.
Of course.
But halfway through the game, and you know, I'm a Democrat, so I get excited about all the Democratic politics.
You're a Democrat.
I hear what's going. Kerry, and I'm like, yeah, they had kind of booed him and kind of cheered him at first. I mean, this is awesome, and people all of a sudden start erupting in this Kerry, and they're going nuts. I mean, and people all of a sudden, my whole section stands up, and people go, hey, and they're all pointing, and I said, there's some, what's going on? I mean, is this some sort of Kerry sign, or was it? And it becomes apparent to me, and because people have gone mental about this, like they've got all these luminaries there, you would think, but it's not Kerry. It's
not John Kerry.
It's Jerry. No. They're yelling, Jerry. And people go, there he is. He's over there. He's over there. There he is. Look at him. He's over there. He's coming through. And I'm like, who the hell is this God? Who is this Pope?
Who is it?
It's Jerry effing Springer.
Oh, no.
Jerry Springer stopped the baseball game. Jerry Springer, people went nuts, turned away from the game, and it's like, look! This one guy in front of me goes, look at that! That's Jerry Springer!
Springer was there.
Like, you would have thought. And I'm sitting there, I'm like,
I love him.
What is wrong
stadium with people.
And it, now the stadium erupts at this point?
The stadium stopped. People turned with their backs to the field, didn't watch the last play of the game, because Jerry Springer is walking through the crowd, high-fiving people, signing autographs.
He's great.
There were movie stars at this game. There were TV news stars at this game. Springer!
Yeah. Springer!
Daddy Springer, dear!
Hold on, here's Mike. Here's a guy in Maine. Jeff, you were there? Jeff, hey, Don and Mike show. Hello.
I was, and I am so bummed with all the beautiful people that I bumped into that I didn't bump into Mike.
Hey, I'm sorry I didn't see you there.
I would have. That was that atmosphere. That was my first Red Sox-Yankees game that I ever went to.
Did you witness the absolute incredible reaction that Jerry Springer got when he came
through? Yes, and I couldn't believe it, because I was actually, I think I probably was a couple more sections up toward the foul pole
right?
than you, and I was blown away, because we were getting ready to get on the T, and let me tell you, riding the T.
T is the subway.
And let me just say, that's better than the guess that I had. I didn't tell you this in the office. I thought it was going to be somebody dopey like Ben Affleck.
No.
Because Mike said, Mike.
No, this was a, don't you think, lower-rent celebrity?
No, Mike said to me, you're not going to believe this. With all the people there, this is the one that they were chanting his name.
I got to ask this guy that was when you heard this, didn't you think there was like either a fight or some incredible celebrity coming through the crowd?
I thought somebody was going after John Kerry.
That is exactly what I thought, because there's, you know, Secret Service everywhere. But no, and all of a sudden, I mean, more than anybody, I guess John Cusack was there. You know, he's a movie star. Right. But no, people started.
Jerry! It's Jerry Springer!
And people, cameras going off, going, you know, that's great.
It was the most amazing atmosphere, because people, like you said, Yankees and Red Sox fans, they were all drunk. They were all screaming at each
other. It's the drunkest bunch of fans I've ever seen. You know what? It was nice that I stayed sober on Sunday, because I witnessed absolutely, I mean, everybody just going,
that's great.
It was unbelievable.
And Springer made his walk of fame, like, right at the peak drunkdom of everybody that was at this game. It was amazing. I mean, it was the most amazing baseball game I've ever been in. Not because of the game, because, you know what? Frankly, the game was kind of boring, because, the Red Sox scored a lot of runs and not a lot happened. But,
Jerry! Bingo! Jerry!
And people with
Jerry
grins, dumb grins, like, oh my God, that's great.
That guy over there, he's running for president, but this Jerry Springer!
A real celebrity.
All right, Jeff, we'll see you, my friend.
Thanks.
All right, see you later.
That guy does NBC Nightly News, but Springer's here!
Yeah.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Would you rather have beer or complete and utter contentment?
What kind of beer?
The Don and Mike Show.
How have you been? It's the Don and Mike Show.
Nothing greater than Dude Walker doing a character voice. It is the best of Don and Mike. With me, your old buddy Rob Spiewak, sitting here playing you great moments from Don and Mike's past. Oh, you know what about Don Geronimo? Yeah, he's got himself a crush. Sure he does. Good-looking lady on the TV. It's Lisa Marie Joyner at KCBS in Los Angeles. And Don, he's smitten. It's Don Geronimo's love of his life on the best of Don and Mike.
I live in Washington. We do a national radio show that is broadcast to 44 cities.
Right.
Los Angeles ain't one of those cities.
No, it's not.
Not even close.
No. Bakersfield, Fresno.
Sacramento.
Sacramento, that's our big piece of California.
Right.
Oh, San Francisco, but we're on the station that doesn't show up in the ratings.
That's true.
So, I only point this out. Why would I be interested in Los Angeles? Our show's never going to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
I get the West Coast feed of the TV networks.
Right.
And I watch Channel 2 in California because all the people are better looking than they are on the station here. I mean, with the exception of the schlub guy, that the anchor guy,
right?
All the women are just beautiful.
Yeah, no.
And they got personality, and they're not like the tight asses on the stations around here. And, you know, this girl that I've fallen in fallen in TV like with is not, for instance, like Julianne Barbary. I've talked about this girl's clothes, this woman's clothes.
Right.
She doesn't wear like the belly shirts and the Britney stuff, but she definitely wears stuff that
makes you more interested in the weather.
provocative on television.
Makes you interested in the Los Angeles weather that doesn't affect you personally at all.
Same every day.
Not at all. And I notice sometimes it's so darn chilly on the set there. She's wearing like something with spaghetti straps, and then she'll have to wear a sweater. And when we were in Las Vegas not long ago, when I was flipping around one of the channels on Mandalay Bay, it was one of those, let's meet what's happening in Las Vegas things. Anyway, I said to Frida, I said, hey, look it. That's that woman from the station in Los Angeles.
Lisa Joyner.
Like doing an infomercial.
Right.
So Frida had the chance to look her up and down. I told you, last week she walked in the room when I was watching, you know, I was just sitting at my desk doing work.
And she knew exactly what you were doing. She knew that you were in TV like with this woman.
What are you
doing?
I'm watching this lady on TV. So now, anyway, Beth Ann, because she's a great producer, called her up. And now this won't be too friggin' awkward. So,
well, I think you've professed your love for her, and I think that's okay.
She'll be pleased.
She's going to think I'm a dope. No. Oh, I am a dope.
She'll be flattered.
She could think I'm a big dope. Anyway, is she there?
Don, that was the longest setup in the history of radio.
Well, honey, I got 4 hours a day to fill. So, hi there.
Hi.
I watch you. Listen, I want to tell you.
Look at your face.
I want to tell you.
At your face right now.
I'm not.
You're all giddy.
I'm not a creep, and I'm not a.
Why are you? Are you really explaining yourself to this?
I'm not a creep, and I'm not a stalker, and I've been married for 23 years, and I'm very happy, and I'm.
Why don't you tell her about the Lisa Joyner shrine that you have in your house?
Stop it. Right.
And what is it with your unhealthy obsession with women of questionable ethnic background on television?
Yeah, that seems to be a theme today, doesn't it?
I don't know. All I know is that. And I've mentioned your name to Leslie Moonves when we had him on the show.
Yes. And what was his take?
I believe that didn't you say something along the line of get her to the the network?
Yes, I said that you're one of the bright stars for CBS. Anyway, how creepy is it that I'm a disc jockey that you've never heard of, whose show you will never hear, yet I watch you on television in the morning?
Oh, it's not creepy. It just means that you have a lot of time. That's all it means.
He makes
you enjoy watching people say sunny and hot. Back to you.
I do, and I've got it down to such a science. I kind of know when you're going to be on.
Well, maybe she can verify if you've got your times right.
Don, you've just got to prove to me that you do actually watch.
Okay, let's see. Now, for instance, last week you had fires out there. So you're going you're going to start. Remember, 5 o'clock your time is 8 o'clock my time. So I'm up. I'm already wired, ready for work. I'm watching, writing, reading the newspaper. So I see wildfires in Southern California. Let's go. They'll throw it to you first. On a day when the weather is simply going to be nice, you might come on at 7 or 8 after the hour. You get a bigger spiel around 23 after the hour. In the 6 o'clock hour, you always get a little spot at about 10 till 7 where you get to do like some entertainment junk, and you get to say who did good at the box office.
You know, now you've succeeded in frightening me.
Okay. Winner. Ding, 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 ding. You know what the funny thing is, Don?
Yes?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
It wasn't going so well?
Oh, no. No, we played a sound effect that I think drowned you out.
Oh, I gotcha. The funny thing is that you know my time, hit times, better than I do.
Uh-oh.
I'm often flying into the set at the last second.
Yeah, I know. I can tell that about you. You have a just walked on the set look. That's a compliment. That's a compliment. So the way that I look at the news there on Channel 2 in California is that you're who you are, and then you've got the traffic girl who she is, and then you've got, you know, the tight-assed woman who's the anchor lady, and then the guy...
Now, I wouldn't say that at all.
I know, that was me saying it.
She's delightful.
And then you've got the guy, that anchor guy, who looks like he could be on The Simpsons.
I think it was fashioned after him.
Yeah. Kent Shocknick. And what's actually funny is at the end, because see, in Washington where we broadcast from and all the other markets that we broadcast to, they don't have news like in Los Angeles. Like at the end, where it's like a round table thing where they go, I'm Kent, and I'm Jennifer, and I'm Lisa, and I'm Vera, and you have a choice for news in the morning, blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, they're all just these beautiful women on television, all of them just saying, hi, look at me.
So Lisa...
Well, you know, the news is kind of secondary.
Okay, absolutely it is. hold on.
I worked in a real market, though. I worked in a real station near you guys.
Really?
In Norfolk,
where?
Virginia.
Oh, you worked. We're out of Norfolk. Where did you work in Norfolk?
Well, I worked at Wavy TV, of course.
And did you? Is that where you got your start, Lisa?
That was my second job.
Okay.
Do you know Les Smith?
Yes, I do.
Les Smith is my cousin.
No, he is not.
That's,
he is.
No, that, now that's Rob. That's not me. That's another guy on our show, Lisa. But his, but he is your cousin.
Yeah, he is actually my wife's cousin.
I dated him.
Oh, he's dated everybody.
Oh, my Rob.
He has.
Your cousin dated Lisa?
I guess he did. You know,
yes,
I could probably get
I dated him for a year and a half.
Wow. Oh, a year and a half? It was a real relationship, Rob.
Yeah.
You must be thrilled.
Yeah, okay.
He's like the Les Nessman of Norfolk, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's a slightly more, slightly better looking.
Very attractive and very, very competent.
Yes, Lisa, this is Mike. We haven't met. Don speaks very highly
Sorry,
of you.
Mike.
I do not have the West Coast feed, so I'm not able to enjoy this. But can I get some vital information from you, please?
Absolutely, Mike.
Your current marital status, please.
That would be single.
She is single.
Well, don't I know? I've never seen a ring.
Are you currently involved with anyone right now?
Oh, I'm so not. It's actually real dry out there right now.
Wow,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, just like the weather.
How do you feel about married guys who live 3,000 miles away? I mean, listen, I'm totally married up, and I'm fat, and I'm really a kind of a nutcase, but...
No, I heard you're terribly handsome.
Look at my picture on the web and think about it. If you ever think, you know...
Consider.
I mean, if you ever get really down on your luck, you know, and you're thinking, who could I call who would make me feel better? You could call me, and I'll always say you're great. And really, I think you deserve better than doing the morning weather on KCBS.
Well, you know what? That was a choice, that 3 o'clock in the morning wake-up call. I'm a little crazy, too. No, but it's a great opportunity. I mean, where can you just freestyle it like that for 2 hours?
That's great. I mean, that's...
Well, that'd be your show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You could come on our show on a regular basis.
Well, but it doesn't make much sense since we're not really heard in Los Angeles. Although, hold on. I got a guy in Baltimore who watches the West Coast feed.
Ah.
Hold on. Richard in Baltimore on Live 105. Richard?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey.
Hey, I just want to say, Don, you're not by yourself. Lisa Joyner, I remember her from... You remember on Fox Sports Net? They used to have their own NFL show.
Yes, I did Fox. Yeah, I did NFL this morning.
Fox 11 in Los Angeles. That was the only reason I watched that show was her. I think they had Jay Moore on there. And that was the only reason I watched her, man. She's smoking hot.
Smoking hot, you know. See, I'm not that crude.
That's a compliment.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you are smoking hot.
Now, Don, this must make for really good radio when nobody has seen me or, aside from Mike.
You know, here's the thing. I bet... Even though we're not on in Los Angeles, and I'm sure that you don't know us from the frickin' frack on the radio dial out there, I bet your KCB, what's your website for your station?
Is it KCBS.com.
I bet you get 50,000 hits this afternoon.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what? I'm lying. It's CBS2.com.
CBS2.com.
Oh, you will get some hits today.
Write to this girl and tell her how long I've been saying I love her and that she's good. And that
months
she,
and months.
You know, and,
months.
And listen, I'm going to speak. I want to say something to you now. You could replace... Leah Remedy on King of Queens in a heartbeat.
I know Leah.
You think it's time for the sitcom?
So do we.
Yeah, we have a relationship with Leah
so
also.
So do we.
Yes.
Well, it
hasn't gone exactly well lately.
How did it go the last time we spoke?
Shut up!
Yes, that's kind of what happened there. It was all when she filmed her, when she taped her wedding.
Oh, for the E! Channel.
We kind of gave her a hard time, and it ended at that. It ended rather abruptly.
But you could do anything besides the wedding. I think you're very talented, and I just want to say hello, and just so you know that there's a perv watching you.
Well, I appreciate that. Usually the sorts of people I'm looking, you know, from my rearview mirror, and I'm kind of nervous. But.
Right. Yeah, the pervs normally don't have someone call your office to schedule an appointment for an interview. But
that was ingenious.
You're a safe distance away, I think.
What is it, Don? What does your wife, your lovely wife, think of this obsession?
She...
Well, let's call her right now. Right.
Hello?
Yeah, hold on. I'm calling my wife. She walked in.
Oh, the phone happens to be busy.
Hold on. I got to call in line two. I think she walked.
They don't pay enough for call waiting?
Oh, no. Yeah, but never mind. It's long. I got a 19-year-old kid who's on the phone all the time.
I'm sorry. The person you are calling does not wish to talk with callers who block their number.
Hold on. I blocked my number?
I think we blocked our number. But if we're keeping track here, we have some vital personal information on Lisa that she is not married and she is currently single.
That's what else do you need, Mike?
I
social?
Likes, dislikes.
Hello?
Baby.
I know. I hear you. I'm glad you're happy, my darling.
Now listen, this lady, this TV lady, asked me if you knew, and you walked in on Friday when I was watching this.
Yeah, and she's being very kind to you and saying that she hears you're handsome and all that stuff.
When I was watching her, true or false, Frida, when you walked in the room the other day, I said, this is the girl from Los Angeles. And you said something like, you're stupid. Yeah, I mean, you said something that to me.
I thought she was cute.
Yeah, but no, you said I'm stupid.
And I don't mean to talk about you in the third person. You are cute. I mean, you know. But I'm not, I don't, it doesn't bother, my husband's fantasy life really doesn't give me any sleepless nights.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So you know what that means translated? I'm available.
That means if you want him, well, you know, we can negotiate a deal.
Wow, she's willing to make a deal.
I'll be the more affluent after it, I guarantee you.
Wow. Yeah. There you go. So that's my
wife. Well, you got a good sport there. You should hang on to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, see how full of compliments she is, darling.
Yes, I see, baby.
She thinks you're handsome and I'm a good sport. She's very misguided.
All right, bye, baby. I love you. I'll see you.
Okay, I love you too. Bye, sir.
Bye-bye. And look at that. Buzz went to KCBS. Look at how cute she is.
Lisa wore a lovely purple top this morning.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I could have told you that. Yeah.
And it's even a better website than they have for stations around here.
Yeah. Anyway, you're really good, and I talk about you all the time on our show just because
I'm retarded, look for a talk show soon.
All right, Lisa, don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. Now that I know, I'll call you tomorrow this time.
I'm sure you will. God, would you please?
Okay, I got to go get sushi.
Okay. All right, goodbye.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There she goes.
He likes sushi, too.
Oh. She was very, very pleasant.
She is smoking.
Yeah. Do you have any questions you'd like me to pass along to my cousin Lex?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't tell you how long I've known Robbie a long time and gotten to know him and his family. Now, this is one guy I've never met. He's the Tom Brokaw of Norfolk.
He really is. He's like the king of the Norfolk television stations. And, yeah, he has dated a lot of people.
I'd like to ask him about his relationship with Lisa Joyner.
I'm sure he'd be very delighted to talk about it.
Is he married now?
Is he married now?
No, I don't think he'll ever marry
her. Really? One of those guys?
Yeah.
Hi there. I am an anchorman.
Did you say it was the NBC station in Norfolk?
Yeah, Wavy.
Wavy?
Yeah.
I wear a tie up top and shorts on the bottom. When it's hot, that's how I do the New York.
Carol, here's Robert in Sacramento. Robert.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi there.
Good. Kent Shocknick, Lisa's co-anchor, he's infamous for, during a live broadcast during an earthquake in L.A., for diving under his desk.
Oh, he's that guy? Oh.
He's that guy. That's the guy. That's Kent Shocknick, and that's what he's famous for. And yes, Lisa is hot. And Mike, good game yesterday, huh?
Absolutely. Oh, I'll be telling you all about it.
All right. I love it. All right, guys, I love you.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
See you later. Got a break. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I get paid for doing this.
The Don and Mike Show.
Woof, woof.
The masters of the triple entendre, Don and Mike.
Yeah, it's the best of Don and Mike on a good-looking Easter Monday. Hope you are doing well. Hope you found all your eggs, etc., etc. My kids are coming down off of a 48-hour sugar high. They are out of control at my house. But at least we have two mixing bowls full of jelly beans. Okay, speaking of which, this next segment featured performer Mike O'Mara. Mike O'Mara feels fat. Mike O'Mara wants to swap his shirt. It's Mike O'Mara on the best of Don and Mike.
I was on and then I was off.
Well, it's because of the configuration with the studio, Mike, which I'm not going to get into.
Studio looks great to me.
At this moment. On your side, things are fantastic.
Yeah, except for being fat. And wearing a shirt that's too small. Look at this shirt.
Look at the shirt on me. All of your surroundings are pleasing.
Right. Look at it. Look.
I see that.
It's an XL.
You might want to think about double XL.
I think I might be. God, I feel like I'm going to burst. I swear to God. I just have to undo this. No, this is just too big.
Come on, Will Ferrell. Please.
This is just too big.
Please.
That's better. Here we go.
You're not saying one thing.
I'm really sorry, but I just have to. Thank you, Rob.
I'll tell you one thing.
You. I'm going to have to get like a T-shirt during the break.
You're good.
I can't do a whole show like this.
You're good for my self-esteem.
Right.
Because I am wearing an XL today.
Yeah, that fits well. You weigh less than I do.
And I felt that it pulled on me a little bit.
Yeah, well, this is a Tommy Bahama XL.
And Tommy Bahama XLs are not normal XLs. They're a little, just a teeny tiny bit smaller than the average XL.
Yeah, and this one that I'm wearing.
You wouldn't understand that. Oh,
no. Okay, Mr. Petite.
Okay, Mia Hamm.
Good to know.
My wife bought me this one. It's a, I think, Caribbean Soul, the Jimmy Buffett shirt. Yeah. She bought it for me last year. Mm-hmm. And when I put it on last year, it was really great until I sat down.
Yeah.
And when I sat down, all of the holes popped.
That looks like a small, that looks like it might be even smaller than this one.
Oh, I believe it is.
Do you want to trade? Do you want to just see if yours fits, if I fit into that one better than... I mean, do you want to see?
I'm sure this one is smaller than that one.
Yeah, you think that one's smaller than this one?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. You think that runs smaller, that XL runs smaller than the...
All right, here you go.
Because it looks small on you.
Shouldn't there be some standard?
What?
I mean, for like what an XL is?
Yes.
Because I have certain shirts that won't fit me if I don't iron them.
It's been a long time since we've taken off our shirts to start the show.
Oh, God.
Let me say welcome.
Wow.
Welcome.
This is freshly laundered. In the event that
that... is mine, Mike.
In the event that that fits you...
Yeah.
A lovely material.
You've both been out in the sun. I can tell that.
You like that?
All right, hold on. Let's see.
Let me see how Mike's fits me, and I'll try Mike's on.
And thus a tradition is born.
And, what? You know, I don't know.
This is too small.
This is, and besides, yours feels damp.
No way.
Hold on, Mike. Hold on.
Before yours is a tiny bit tighter in the chest.
I just don't know what to say.
Before you put your shirt back on, what's the page number? It's
star 9. No, star 8. Forgive me.
Okay. Hey, ladies.
Yeah.
Hey, ladies. Feeling kind of low. Want to pick me up to get you through the rest of the day?
You ready for a real turn on?
You want someone to light your fire?
You want to come down and see some real man flesh?
Me and Mike have our shirts off right now. This is a limited time offer.
The same time.
And your time is running out.
You have 10 seconds.
I'm on the speaker throughout the station. Goodbye. 10 seconds starts now.
I can hear the thundering hoofbeat.
They waited patiently.
Here they come. And 7, 8... 9,
and
now,
10, all right.
Now we're moving into the 11s and 12s.
Yeah, that's time.
So, you know, the stampedes. Fresno, California. Hello.
Donato, Michael, how you guys doing?
Hello, my friend.
Dude, this new station you guys are on, the freaking blowtorch. I've been up and down the valley already today. I got you guys all the way from Bakersfield all the way up to Chico now on those three stations.
There you go. All right, my friend.
I never heard you guys in FM, and I mean, it's like you guys are sitting right next to me. You sound great.
That's great news. That's in Fresno, it's KRNC 105.9 FM.
I don't know how many watts, but it's a blowtorch.
It's 5 gazillion. That's great. Thank you for the call, Daniel.
No problem.
I'm not up on my my California geography. We're in the valley. I know that.
Cover the valley.
You know, you with the shirt unbuttoned and your belly and stomach just hanging out.
It's very full.
Hard to concentrate.
I roasted a turkey yesterday.
Did you?
I did.
How'd that turn out?
I ate most of it myself.
I spent most of my day yesterday with my mother-in-law.
That sounded exciting.
Sounds exciting.
I'd say I was the winner, Mike. I'd say I was the winner.
Sure.
Oh, no, you don't have to button up. I'm used to it now, Mike. I'm used to it.
I feel like Curly.
It's not gonna work.
I gotta get another shirt.
You've only buttoned the top three buttons. Hold on a second. See, before I get to this,
it works fine this way. See,
give me a second. But
now it's fine.
Standing.
When you're standing, but you're not gonna be able to do the show.
Yeah, but yours is a little tight when you sit down too, right?
Hello?
No, it's not.
You're sitting up straight.
So I have to be reclining?
Yeah, like I do.
Go back.
Yeah. See.
No.
It's a little tight. It's a little tight.
I'm just giving you an example. That's why these shirts are better. Now, if I sit like this,
you see?
But okay. I can't sit like this for the whole show.
I sit like this.
Beth Ann?
Yeah?
Can you get Mike a t-shirt?
Yeah, I'll go do that. What's pretty big?
Double X.
Okay,
thanks. Bye-bye.
An XL would probably work.
Sure it would.
It's stretchy.
Sure.
Depends on the cut.
Sure it would.
Now I could wear Rob's. And Rob, I'm sorry to bring you into this discussion, but you know,
Why not? Call an expert. If you want, there's room in here for you right now. Come on in, everybody. Come in my shirt.
I needed you then. I'm sorry. I just was starting to feel bad about myself.
Yeah, you see, the thing about...
Now, wait, I found a place where now there seems to be... This seems to be okay.
If one of those buttons goes, we're going to lose an eye.
That'll be fine.
We'll get your t-shirt in.
That will be fine.
We'll get the t-shirt stat.
That's right.
I'm okay.
You could use the old model trick.
What's that?
Where they actually cut the shirt up the back.
I'm not going to do that. It's a nice shirt. I'll be in this shirt. I'm going on a diet this week.
Good luck.
Hey, I almost lost almost 40 pounds. I gained about 20 back. Did you ever?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just feeling goofy today.
I know. It's the
second week in a row that I've come into the studio feeling goofy.
No problem with it. It's great when you feel goofy.
It was a real decision whether to wear this shirt to work or not. And this shirt is a perfect shirt for standing up. It's a terrible shirt for sitting down. You can stand up in this shirt and you're fine.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there's no tightness.
Okay, here's where I would beg to differ. The shirt that I have on, I was in the car today for 3 hours coming back from Ocean City.
Right.
Was sitting in my car,
right,
upright, and didn't have the space come between the buttons.
Right.
So maybe you're right on a shirt if you're going to do what you do, which is just...
Recline,
and then go...
Yeah, it's not like I sit even in a car position. If you sat in a car position like I am right now, you'd drive off the road.
Yes.
You wouldn't make... Your eyes wouldn't make contact with the road.
You're the lowest of the low riders.
I am... I'm very comfortable, but the chair requires me to have a shirt that has a little bit of give.
So it's okay when you're standing... But
perfect when I'm standing.
So don't give the shirt to Christopher Reed.
Well, it depends on what position they have him in.
Oh, set him up straight?
Yeah, if you do that stand-up thing, like in that movie. Oh, that was all fake.
It was. Right.
That was a commercial, wasn't it?
We don't believe that.
No.
We don't. We never believe that. It's real. We saw it during the Super Bowl. We saw Christopher Reeve walk.
We saw him walk with his really small
Very
head.
Very exciting.
Very small Beetlejuice head.
But I'm fine. I'm going to survive with this shirt. I'm going to do okay.
Well, Beth Ann is rushing in to get you another
shirt. You know me a long time. I don't wear clothing that is tight. I've never worn clothing that is tight. I will take the ego out of it. And add the other X on an L.
Sure.
To have some give. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't upset me.
You know, the opposite end of the spectrum
is this man over here.
Who
purchases clothing a size too small on a regular basis. But you know what? That was a long time ago when he did that. He's always done that. Mm-hmm. But now he's gotten so small.
Yeah,
that they actually fit.
You still can't fit a credit card between him and the fabric.
Right.
Here we go, Beth Ann. What do we have for Mike? What do you have here? What do you got for him from the prize closet?
It's not a t-shirt, but it's larger.
It's a pullover.
Right. Do you think you'd be okay with that?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Perfect. I'll take that.
Wearing a pullover on a hot summer day?
That's just a cheap excuse to get an extra pullover.
Okay.
There you go. Thanks, Beth Ann.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Beth. Thanks. You okay today?
Yeah.
Are you all right? Are you having a good day today?
Great day.
Are you okay? She just kind of walked out. Okay, see you later.
There we go. It's a learning curve with her and me around here. And the gloves kind of came off today. She's great.
You treating my lady well?
She's a fantastic producer. But yes, she gets into that panic mode with like Leslie Moonves, who's going to be on the show today, but that was such a big shot. He wants to do it tomorrow or whatever. Mm-hmm. Beth Ann still is Pollyanna enough in this job that she calls me up. There had to be five calls today. It was, hi, okay, I just got off the phone with this assistant. She's Black Bear Me. Les really wants to be on the show today. We are not sure of the time, but he really, really wants to do it. You know, honey, listen to me. He doesn't really, really want to do it. He doesn't really even know who we are.
You can't say the H word.
What, honey?
Yes, it's in the handbook. You're not supposed to say that.
All right. Darling?
Nope, that's not allowed either. I read the whole book.
Did you read it?
Read the whole handbook.
Yeah, listen.
Female terms of endearment.
If we
sweetie,
all,
honey, baby.
If we all live up to the terms of that handbook that we were forced to sign today,
then I wouldn't have had my tongue in Colette's ear out of the front desk.
Amen to that.
Hey.
And next time, try that with your shirt off.
I didn't realize that I had my gay sunglasses on top of my head too. I'm having a weird day. I am really sorry.
That's okay.
Here we go.
That's okay. How you doing?
That's better.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, Robin.
Sorry. I put sunglasses on in the studio, and I always found them to be silly looking.
Well, you were right about that. They are.
That's right.
That's a nice picture you're painting of yourself today. Very nice for the listeners at home.
I'm just trying to make my way. It's a Monday, and Mondays are goofy.
Or for the listeners in the car, that was a dumb thing to say, because, of course, if you're a listener, you're not going to be here. You're going to be somewhere else besides here.
In many new markets today, which is very exciting.
Would you take off the sunglasses?
I really like having them on, though. It's kind of cool.
Off. Thank you.
Those eyes.
Take them off all the way. Don't do that. Don't do that queer thing where you put them halfway up.
Like that. Yeah. Okay. You ever see people that do that with them?
Around their neck? Yes. I've seen all of that.
So they do that thing where they just stick the little...
A lot of that.
The little ear rests behind their ear.
The worst thing is usually in the 60-year-old range is a man who puts them on his forehead.
Right.
Particularly when he's complaining about something.
That's right. I was in this store. I was in this store about a week ago.
Well, when is my reservation going to be ready?
I'll stop. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I thank everybody for the help. I mean, between the chair and the pullover, I'm real happy.
The pullover? Oh, AOL.
The AOL pullover
that you just got. Okay. Would there be anything else?
No, I'm fine.
I mean, listen.
I'm going to do the show. I just wore too small a shirt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's because I've gotten fat again. And it's really frustrating me, and I really need to... drop some weight.
Okay.
You know, and I was going to do it today, but I have my...
drop the weight today?
I was going to start. Today I was telling my girlfriend I was going to start today, and I have the kids with me today, and so when I'm with the kids, I make food for them. I make a lot of food for them. Mm-hmm. I make French toast for them.
Good.
I made them a nice... I roasted a turkey for them yesterday, and I made gravy with that, and I ate... And then I took the leftover turkey... And I put it in the gravy, and I made open-faced turkey sandwiches for my one for my daughter, and then I made a peanut butter and banana sandwich for her too. You know, my daughter is Rael Finn. She's she eats healthily, and she's very athletic.
So what's the problem with that?
I eat what she doesn't eat. Like she ate a third of the food that I gave her, and I ate the other two thirds.
Did you fry the peanut butter and banana
sandwich? No, I did not.
Like Elvis?
No, they don't like it like that. They like it just with peanut butter and bananas
on the bread.
It's good.
And then I ate like, do you know at Safeway the trail mix that you get that comes in the, it looks almost like a cookie jar. It looks almost like a, it almost looks like a flour container that you would have.
Plastic thing?
Big plastic square jug.
I've seen that, yes.
Yeah, and I have no idea how much of that I've eaten because the Safeway brand has more M&Ms in it, and it's the best. And so I've eaten most of that. And then I had a couple of spoonfuls of Edie's Grand Light French Silk. That's my daughter's favorite ice cream.
Good ice cream.
So I feel seriously as big as a house today. I also ate a 15-pound bag of sugar. No, I'm kidding.
That's a joke. That's
no, I'm doing fine. It's just, but it's time. I'm also, you know, I'm just not healthy. I'm drinking. I'm smoking. Eating.
This health bulletin just arrived when?
You know when I had that whole thing with my cardiologist when I was allergic to iodine?
Yeah.
You know, since they didn't get the results, they didn't find out. I don't know. I looked at it as kind of like I didn't get news.
No, you never went in and followed up. You never went in and had your stress test.
They never called me back.
It's their fault.
It is their fault. I canceled the stress test because I didn't want to deal with that iodine crap again.
Sure.
Mike.
I should have said enough after the third ham. No, Rob, that's yours.
I know.
It's not me.
Now, come on, listen, here's...
No, but I'm going to start exercising. Yeah, and you know what irritated me? My housekeeper, the lady that comes in once a week and cleans my house.
Consuelo, yes?
She came, no, she's as American as they come. And
still, I like saying the name because it used to be dirty.
No, she's so American that she left a note that said, "If you, my husband would be interested if you'd like to sell your gym equipment." Now that offends me. Because I have clothes hanging on it? Is that the reason?
For her to presume.
That was a presumption.
Yeah. Oh, fire her.
I don't think she has any idea
fire her
how much I got pissed off at that.
Fire her.
That's out of line.
Fire her.
Would you be interested, since you never use it, Fatso? Would you be interested in selling that? Would you? At a nice cheap rate? You know. I was just annoyed. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I had me a weekend. Okay. I know you have weekend-y stuff.
I have weekend-y stuff all the time. Don't worry.
You know how you occasionally you need to come in here and let it out?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Go ahead. I know, and you had your kids at an amusement park this weekend.
Hershey Park, an amusement park, a fine amusement park. They do a very nice job, it's very clean.
Uh-huh.
I come away from there wishing for pestilence. I wish for a major plague to just, you talk about thinning the herd. I mean, you go up to an amusement park on a summer weekend, and you will know that it needs to happen. It needs to happen.
Right.
We need to get rid of some people.
But you have to know going in it's going to be crowded because
you
take your kid somewhere on a Saturday.
But I don't have an option. You know, say, like, Daddy, we should go on a weekday. Well, Daddy has to work on a weekday. Daddy can't go to the amusement parks. I'm sure there are many of the same people that are there that were there Saturday that are there right now because they look to me like perhaps they can be there all the time.
Were they thin?
Oh, they were a variety of sizes. The interesting thing, as the day went on, the larger people, including the wheelchair-bound people that were in wheelchairs
Wheelchair fat, not wheelchair thin.
They might very well have some sort of malady, but the fact is that they were obese and in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were massive. They were enormous. And, excuse me, that's the turkey that came up.
Yeah. We'll come back on you.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That is turkey gravy.
Mm.
Anyway, that's it. I had a bit of weekend and ate a little badly, and I'm feeling very big. And you have to hit that wall. You have to hit that moment where you say to yourself, "You're going to start again. You're going to get back." You how long? You've been back on the stick for a month or so. You've been really like doing the work, baby stepping
for a long time. I had a slight little thing when I had my medical problem. Then
you hopped right back on.
Yeah, right.
You still doing it? Remember what I was eating the other day?
Every day. What were you eating?
Eating one of your little protein bars or whatever the hell that shake you drink.
Yeah. What were you eating?
I was eating a steak and cheese with French fries. Mm. That's when I get to the point where I'm eating so badly that I stop. And I'm not going to go back on that protein thing. I'm going to go back on a modified, a lot of fish, a lot of chicken, a lot of lettuce.
I'm for you.
He just gave me the phony eye roll thumbs up. That's what I just got, a phony eye roll.
I just saw the
but,
thumbs
you know,
up.
It was just like that thumbs up. I'm going to do that.
Good. I hope you do. It's worked out for me. I feel better about myself since I lost all that weight, mm-hmm. even though I'm still fat. I'm not as fat as I used to be.
No, I mean, I need 10 pounds right now to melt off me to just get back into that, comfortable XL range.
Do one of those crazy ass fasts.
I might do the thing that Heffy does.
Yes, my wife did
Heffy,
that.
Heffy's got the
cleanser.
The body cleanser with lemon juice.
It's a jug with lemon juice and maple juice and molasses.
Heffy? I like calling him Heffy.
Tastes awful, but it works for him.
Heffy, if you're listening, make me up a big jug of that and I'll drink that for the next 24 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
You stick to it? You know who else takes a long time? You know who's really big into that?
Joe?
No, hold on. I'm going to have to call her at work.
Yeah, I know Frida's done that.
Yes.
Something like
that. The line is busy.
Oh, how could that be?
Frida's on that thing?
Oh,
she's done that pepper.
I'm available.
Yeah.
Lemon juice.
If I'm not mistaken, I think you're only supposed to drink it after noon. You can have like a sensible breakfast and a sensible lunch.
Listen, I saw my wife do this. There's no way you can do this.
Would a sensible breakfast?
There's no way I could do this.
Would the words Grand Slam be involved?
Pleased to be holding. hello, is this Samantha? Hello?
Oh, dear.
Oh, crap.
Did we get disconnected?
Yeah, hold on.
I didn't know she did that.
What?
Why is your wife dieting? Your wife weighs 8 pounds.
She's going through her midlife crisis, Mike. She's 50. She's almost 50. Right. She'll be 50.
She wants to look good for Matt Rogers.
This is Mike. I was just calling for Frida. Is she around? And new listeners know this. Ooh, there's a big secret out of the bag.
Mm-hmm.
My real name is...
Michael Sars.
Right. But, you know me as Donnie. And spell it with an I, if you're in Fresno.
D-O-N-I.
D-O-N-I. So now we're getting my wife, who was...
She's not going to lecture me, is she?
No, listen.
No.
I'm going to tell you. This is going to be... If you allow her to do this, this will be the worst 24 hours of your life. If you could do it for 24 hours.
This is the cleansing?
Yep. She's done it twice. Makes me sick to look at the stuff that she's
doing. Can you have a cocktail during this?
It's regarding Mike O'Mara and his health, and he wants to go on her fast. Would you ask her if she just has a second to go on the radio? My wife, who we're going to be calling here in a second.
Right. Your wife, Frida. Frida, your wife.
That's right. God willing, and if the Axe door is closed, it's going to be 23 years next month.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
So,
you're almost at silver.
Hi, honey.
Hey, sugar. I'm very busy. I got it, John.
I know you're very busy, and I wouldn't bother you at work. However, Mike has decided that he would like to do... You know that fast thing that you did?
Yes.
Yes. Mike would like to start that.
Okay, let me call you right back.
I don't have time. Can you just email whatever it is to Mike that he needs to do?
Yes. I will give him full instructions.
And can he start this when?
He can start it tomorrow.
He can start it next week.
Okay, next week. Okay, bye.
All right, but look, September. There she is, busy.
Next week in September.
Busy. She's very busy.
She's very busy. It sounds like she's closing a deal.
I thought we could get some insight there, because for 2 weeks I saw her do this, and it really looks putrid. And I've seen Hefe walking around drinking.
Same stuff?
Looks like he's just given a sample.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it's the most sample-looking thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. But if you can stick with it for a week, something like 7 days, it's supposed to cleanse you or, the detoxify you.
Master cleanser.
There you go.
Hot master cleanser, one of the biggest health drinks anywhere. Anywhere. Some of the biggest Hollywood stars. Yeah, all right. How does Paris Hilton keep her stick thin figure?
Yeah.
Oh.
Imagine your name there. How does Mike O'Mara keep his stick figure?
Robin
stick
Quivers.
Figure.
Howard Stern's famous sidekick swears by Master Cleanser. Yes, sir. Any other celebrities they have in here?
Is that how you're going to decide?
Yes, Paris Hilton and Robin Quivers are doing it.
I thought it was enough that Hefe was doing it.
No, Hefe is the one. Well, Hefe, how is Hefe doing on that?
Mike,
Hefe still appears to be somewhat round to me.
He has a rare blood disorder.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious.
You see, I didn't know it was
fine.
I didn't know it was a fact.
Whoa, I'm in.
Why?
This will help purify the liver.
Hello.
That means I can't drink.
No drinking.
Yeah. I can't do that.
I can't not drink.
I thought it was like a folk cure.
Now we're into a whole new area that I didn't know we were allowed to talk about.
What, the liver? My liver problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, my liver was inflamed.
Ouch.
After much drinking.
What did the doctor tell you?
The doctor said I had an inflamed liver.
And what else?
And it said if you have 5 beers and I cut down to 3. And I don't have 5 beers or 3 beers and I have... 100 beers twice a week.
That's much better.
That's kind of what I do.
So then cut down to 60.
You're nobody to talk.
You know you're right.
Absolutely.
You're done with that, pass that over.
Okay. I might try this stuff.
The fasting?
Yeah.
Okay. Would there be anything else before we take a break?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to monopolize the opening
break.
Don't
be sorry. God knows I monopolize it every day. Help yourself.
It's this tight shirt that got me motivated. Really, and I'm just going, taking the deep breaths because the shirt is like that. And I'm going to maybe try this.
So you're motivated to do what?
It says fasting for one or two days a month.
There
and this
go.
Drink can be very cleansing and rejuvenating. Who can't do 1 day or 2 days a month?
Mike O'Mara.
Thank you. I plan on doing it. Two tablespoons of lemon or lime juice.
Yes.
2 tablespoons of pure grade B maple syrup.
Right.
1/10 teaspoon of cayenne pepper.
Mm. Right.
And 12 ounces of purified water, very warm.
Hold on, Mike. Here's a call for you.
All right.
Oh, here's Hefe. Hey, Alex, what's happening?
What's up, bro?
Hey, listen, can you...
I've talked to Hefe about this before.
As the kids say, can you hook Mike up with the ingredients if we reimburse you?
I will hook your brother up. In fact, I'm on my way in now, and I will stop by the local grocery store.
I can start it when you get here?
Hey, hold on. The hotline's ringing. Hold on a second. I can just conference you. Hello?
Hi, my darling. Are you all set?
Yeah, hold on. I got Hefe on the other line. Hold on. Okay. You can both be on at the same time.
All right.
Hefe's going to pick up that fasting stuff that you were on because, well... It's been an interesting...
I got money, Hefe, so just bring it in.
It's been an interesting 40 minutes.
How did you tell him what to get? Did you know?
Well, Alex?
Yeah, it's the cayenne pepper, the lemon juice pure, and the maple syrup.
Honey,
But you have to make sure you get grade B maple syrup, and that's a little bit harder to find. You have to go, to a natural... A Whole Foods kind of store.
Well, you can't use, Mrs. Butterworth.
No, you can't.
You can't use Mrs. Butterworth.
Now, Alex has been doing this, and I tried to call you first. Mike was upset because his shirt didn't fit today.
And what is grade B maple syrup? What is
it? It has more nutrients in it. It's not as purified. It's not just, grade A is just the sugar.
Not as refined.
So, Mike, who would you like to be your coach on this? Would you like Alex?
Hefe.
Or Alex or Frida?
Hefe.
Well, I'll give you some time to think about it. Would you like Alex or Heather?
Let me think about it. You're right. You know,
don't even offer me. I'm off the table now.
You're what?
I'm not offering my help.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
I've been rejected.
No, I see Hefe every day. I see him physically every day, and so I can ask him about it.
You could see me every day.
All right. I love you. Hello there. I was throwing some love your way. Hello.
Oh, he's so insecure. I love you too, my baby.
And why wouldn't I be insecure? You know, everybody's got Photoshop. What would you think if you woke up and your wife had put your head, your face on Napoleon's body? And she's real happy about it.
It's a tribute.
Okay, now I have to go. Now I have to go, darling. I'm busy again.
Okay, like, can you just explain why you put me on Napoleon and, like, you put that on the bulletin board, like I should be happy about that?
I need to work, Shug.
Okay, goodbye.
Love you.
But because you're a powerful man, that's why.
He was a short...
Well, they say the Napoleonic complex.
Right.
He ruled the world, darling. He didn't have a complex. He didn't have illusions of grandeur because he was grand.
He was the real
thing.
That's
what I was saying. You're a powerful man.
All right. Well, it was somewhat less than flattering to see my big face on that little tiny short midget body.
Like on The Sopranos.
All right, darling. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye, Stevie. Right,
I love you.
And is Hefe still on the line?
Yeah, Alex is here.
Hefe, you'll bring that stuff in there?
I'm on my way to get it now, and we'll be partners.
And Alex, are you ready for this?
I'll reimburse you and give you a little something for the effort.
Now, Alex, here's a little synergy. You want a little synergy? Alex does the show, The Hideout, every night on WJFK at 11 o'clock.
Right.
How about you mention on the air tonight that you're going to be Mike's coach for a couple of days, and we'll have an update on our show, and you can do an update on your show.
Hey, way to program. The station.
About how Mike is doing with the big fasting.
Do we want to do weigh-ins and everything?
No, I don't want to do weigh-ins.
Okay.
I mean, because I'm scary fat.
So the proof will be in the pudding, if you'll pardon the pun.
Hey.
If Mike loses some weight after a while, and Alex, you can actually coach him. And if
how about in 2 weeks you try the same shirt on in the same chair?
I will leave. That is fantastic. Everybody remember this shirt. I'll bring in the shirt in 2 weeks.
And if it happens to be one of the nights this week when you're having 100 beers,
right?
You could call in live to Hefe's show to give him an update.
Okay, now let's not go too far.
All right, thanks. Bye, Alex.
I see.
Actually, that might work very well. Yeah. Okay.
I know you think it would work.
No, it'd be great. I'll call him.
Yeah. You'll never call.
I will. I will. Because I just thought my entrepreneurial side just kicked in there.
Another commercial for your restaurant.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, okay.
Thanks. Look Around Cafe.
Brilliant.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm calling live from
we're going to get a break. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And move to a ranch.
No, Pop, they don't mind if we stay.
In the cement pond is swimming Ellie's favorite cat. Her nanny goes a-hide since she had my hat.
The monkey pays my song.
He's got the words all right, but the melody is wrong.
Ellie Mae,
Ellie Mae,
Ellie Mae,
oh Ellie
Mae. They're so pretty with no litter every day.
Listen, Ellie dear, the time to move is near.
We don't need to move, Pop, they all love it here. There's a possum in my sofa, should be in my soup. Chickens in the closet, we ain't got no chicken coop. Today I found a hung dog, Ellie, and I'll admit he's clean. He was sleeping in the laundry and I'm watching machine.
Good man, I just bought it.
Great song.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Thank you, Sonny. And you may ask yourself, why a Beverly Hills song, Beverly Hillbilly song? Because we're going to be doing something here that references Granny. It's what your granny doesn't know won't hurt her. Yeah, let's play a game. Game time on The Best of Don and Mike.
It's time to play what my granny doesn't know won't hurt her.
Salmon or cod, Granny.
And we've got... For goodness sakes, we've got lots of people on the phone.
I don't want to talk to you. You may be mad today. Don't talk to me. It ain't been easy living with you all this time, the things that you've done to me. Trying to pick at my brain what little bits left of. Hey, look here. I'm not all the way crazy.
I'll take another peek in my pocket.
What do you see, Granny? Yeah, are you looking, Granny?
Yeah, I see fish.
Yeah, fish in Granny's pot.
So the question is... what have you done that your granny doesn't know?
Right.
And we're going to get some calls on this. This first segment is always weeding through.
That's right.
You know, maybe we'll get a great one.
We're going fishing.
You never
know, but people sure like that NASCAR.
Maybe we'll get a great one. Hello, and it is a kick-ass prize.
Sure is, yeah.
If I wasn't going to the hottest, and I mean this, if I wasn't going to the hottest gay wedding on the planet on September 11th,
right,
there is a 35% chance that I would be going to... it's in Richmond?
Yeah.
There would be a 15% chance that I would be going...
Still, that's significant.
Aren't they going to race at night down in Richmond?
Yes.
And when they do it, and, you know, the thing I know about NASCAR, they race at night, it's a little tougher.
Yeah. So, you know what? Maybe there'd be a 17% chance...
There you go.
...that I would go. Right. Anyway, it's a hot ticket. Here's Blake. Hi, Blake.
Radio guys.
Howdy. Welcome to the show, Blake.
Howdy, thanks. Blake.
I'm doing just fine.
Blake, where are you from?
I'm from Gaithersburg, Maryland.
So you're listening on the mighty WJFK FM?
Absolutely, every day.
They got track up there in Gaithersburg?
Not that I'm aware of. There's one 75 and 80.
They had a demolition derby, don't they, at Montgomery Fairgrounds?
Demolition. Blake, what is it that your granny doesn't know?
Well, my grandparents basically raised me, and during when I was in high school, I used to do a lot of drugs, and they're in no way, shape, or form aware of it at all.
Mm. You did drugs and they're unaware of it.
That's
correct. What kind of drug? A gateway drug?
Gateway drug and everything afterwards.
Uh-huh. Right on the other side of the gate.
Have you some acid, some coke, some crack.
Some acid and crack and coke. All of them, huh, Blake?
Pretty much.
Have you straightened out?
Absolutely.
Hey, what happened to your mom?
Well, I was a bit much for my mother to handle, I guess you could say.
Uh-huh.
So,
was she young?
Let me live with them.
She was young when she had ye?
No, not necessarily.
Blake, do you have any tattoos, piercings, or scarrings?
Absolutely, all of the above.
All of them.
So your mama gave you to her mama to raise, and then Granny, what she doesn't know is that...
He was doing drugs while Granny raised him.
Okay, Blake, hold on a second, please.
Sure.
Hold on, that's simply the... Like I said,
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Yes, Mr. Drysdale?
I'm just going to say that I am not predicting that Blake will be a finalist.
I'll take another peek in my pocket.
Is it fish?
You see, Granny? Yeah, are you looking, Granny?
Yeah, I see fish.
Oh, poo tinky.
Let's talk to Jason. Hello, Jason, Don and Mike show.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing great. Jason calling from where?
Baltimore.
Right on. Yeah, Cadenceville, Maryland, live 105. Mm-hmm. Cadenceville, Maryland, formerly home of WKTK. There's something for you Baltimore radiophiles.
Very good.
Let's see, Jason, what is it that your granny doesn't know?
Well, when I was about 17, just barely 17, I was hanging out with this chick and got her knocked up. Well, got some about $300 from my grandmother because she was... Real cool grandmother. She understood to, of course, when you're 17, you're way too young to have a kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so and, you got the money to take care of it?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, look at all the babies we killed.
Wow.
So you got your grandmother. What your grandmother doesn't know that you knocked up a girl and got an abortion?
No, she knows about that. The thing is...
What doesn't she know, Jason?
My grandmother... She did not. The girl, she wound up not being pregnant.
Oh.
And I took the $300 and got about 12 of my buddies drunk all weekend.
Okay, all right. See, now...
I like that one.
Now we're...
So now, she was nice enough a grandmother to give you the money for that situation to help you out of trouble.
To get an abortion for your girlfriend.
But since she wasn't pregnant, you had a beer party for your buddies.
I'm ready to end this. Give me the grandma's phone number right now.
Uh-huh. Yee.
There is no need. I don't care what's on line one, line two, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Bring me this guy's. Did you give Joe or Beth Ann your information?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it right here. All right.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. That's too good. That simply is too good.
Well, that's kind of a happy ending.
Because, you know, Granny will be probably relieved.
Well.
I would, or maybe not.
Margaret?
Anything could happen.
Calling Margaret. Yeah. Margaret, that's the granny.
And how old's your granny, Jason?
Oh, hold on, let me see. I got
35.
Million phone things here. Jason?
Yes, sir.
How old's your granny?
She's about 63, something about that.
All right, Rob's on the phone right now.
I'm with the Don and Mike radio show, and we have your grandson, Jason, on with us. Can we put your voice on the air so you can play a radio game with us?
See what? What, dude?
Yeah, Jason's on the phone.
She'll be a little mad.
Kegger, that's kind of a happy ending.
No more than fun.
Kegger, not pregnant.
No, it's up to you to get her unmad.
Kind of a happy... Well, listen, the first thing you have to do is just tell her the truth.
You have to tell her the truth, Jason. That's the whole point
you
of the
You can't,
game.
Like, say, I'm sorry. You just have to tell her the truth. Remember that girl? And, oh, and how old was the girl?
She was about to turn 17.
Almost
17. Oh, babies having babies.
Almost 17. She was only 16.
Mm-hmm.
Only 16.
FM.
And running late.
All right, we're waiting. We're negotiating with your grandmother.
With your grandma.
We'll put your voice on the air, okay?
Here we go.
Okay, hang on for Jason.
All right. This will be fast. Now, Jason, you be on your best behavior, okay?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
All right, now here is your grandma. Here is Granny, Margaret.
Hey, Granny.
Hi.
Hi, Granny. Welcome to the Don and Mike Show. Thanks for joining us. We have your degenerate grandson, Jason, on the phone with us.
Mm-hmm.
Say hi to Granny, Jason.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, sweetheart. How you
and
doing?
We're playing a game called What My Granny Doesn't Know Won't Hurt.
I'll take another peek in my pot.
What do you see, Granny? Are you looking, Granny?
Yeah, I see fish.
It's a little game we call What My Grandmother Doesn't Know Won't Hurt Her, and it's a chance for Jason to tell you something that you don't know.
Oh, okay.
And then he gets to win some NASCAR tickets for a very important NASCAR race. He gets to go to VIP seating, go to the garage. And
well, that's nice.
It'll be a great time for him.
Okay. So
now, Jason, it's all on you, because you called us.
Mom, remember when I was about 17 and I told you that I got that girl pregnant?
You're telling this on the radio?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm sad.
Okay.
Well, she wound up not being pregnant, and I kind of took the, like, $300 that you let me borrow and kind of got my buddies drunk for, like, a whole weekend.
That wasn't a very nice thing to do, Jason.
No, it wasn't, Jason.
No, it wasn't.
No.
And look at your granny was willing to pay for your abortion.
Right.
You ever pay her back, Jason?
Jason, do you ever give her the money back?
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what it was for. I wasn't getting money.
Oh, you didn't know what it was for either? Did you lie about that, Jason?
No, Mom. I had told you about that. We had talked about that.
You didn't know that you'd be paying for Jason's girlfriend's abortion?
Hmm.
God, I feel like Jerry Springer all of a sudden.
I think she knew that. She just didn't know about the beer.
Jerry Springer. You shouldn't ask grandmothers this kind of question.
That's right.
Well, it's your retarded grandson who called us in the first place, ma'am.
Do you wish you had?
He's a good boy.
No. Do you wish you had loaned $300 to Jason's mom?
What?
Never mind.
Oh, stop it, Rob.
So you knew about the
trouble that Jason was in.
Yeah, but what you didn't know was that he took that money. The girl ended
up...
But
he really wasn't in trouble at all.
He could have come back to you and said, hey, Granny, guess what? The girl is not pregnant. Here's your money back.
And this this has been weighing on Jason's mind for quite some time.
Well, I hope this will ease his mind.
It was weighing on his mind at least until he heard we were giving away NASCAR tickets.
Oh.
Jason, don't you have anything to say for yourself?
I apologize, Mama. I'm sorry.
I accept.
Oh, she accepts.
That's nice.
Isn't that wonderful?
Forgive and forget.
She accepts.
She's a great grandmother.
She's a great grandmother. That's
obvious. She'll do anything for her family.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Well, she is, obviously, Jason.
Right. She was going to give you money for your abortion. You went out and spent it on beer.
Somebody knows my name, do they?
What? Pardon?
You're not saying my name.
No,
no, ma'am.
No,
no. Just your first name.
Okay.
There could be anybody. A million people named Margaret.
Right.
And I can understand why you wouldn't want your name on the radio.
Yes, of course. Yes.
For goodness sakes.
No. Yeah.
But is he a good boy?
He is a good boy. Mm. He's come up pretty hard. But,
has he straightened out a little bit, Mama?
He's matured a lot.
Good. He's matured a lot?
Yes.
May we be so bold as to ask why his mom dropped him with you?
When was this?
Well, no, that was the other guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's another caller.
That was the other guy. Yeah.
That was another guy who lied. Another guy who lied to his grandma.
That was the guy that lied to his grandma.
There are so many.
Jason, are you showing the proper amount of remorse here?
Yeah.
Did you just hear what your retarded grandson said on the radio?
That's terrible, Jason. You can't talk like that on the radio.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, now listen, Granny, you tell him he can't use the S word anymore.
Hey, I tell him that, but I'm not around him much.
Yeah. Oh, you're not around? Well, that's probably just as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jason, are you going to do anything for your grandma after all this? I mean, you've won the prize.
Take her to NASCAR.
I don't think she's really up for the NASCAR. I have to take her out to dinner.
I believe you owe her some money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The rest
of you owe her some money.
The rest of the $300.
Yeah, Granny, how much of the $300 for the fake abortion has he actually paid you back?
Probably about nothing.
Nothing. You owe her some money there, Jason.
Probably about nothing.
What year did this happen, Jason?
Oh, come on. Let's get over this.
All right. Yes, that's fine. No problem at all. Yes, let's get over this. Absolutely.
Well, we're just looking out for you, Granny.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Granny.
Thank you.
Anything?
Pardon?
Do I win anything?
Well, we should give Granny something.
Yeah, hold on. Let me find something for you, Granny.
And you should pay her back right away, Jason.
Yeah.
I will.
He will, as soon as he gets some money.
Yeah. Really? When will that be?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what.
Yeah, Jason, when are you going to pay her back?
Soon.
Get some money.
Mm-hmm. I just got my stuff together, bud.
Good for you,
I just
Jason.
Got my stuff together, bud.
How many years ago was this, incidentally, just so we can do the research on this? Jason?
About four years ago.
It's been that long. Yeah, I guess.
All right, well, you owe her some money, Jason.
Jason, would you rather...
At 10% interest compounded yearly, you owe her about $450.
$450, that's with the interest, Jason.
Jason, would you rather that we take $200 off your debt to your granny and give your granny $200 in cash, meaning you would only owe her $200 more,
uh-huh.
Or would you rather that we give her no money but give you the NASCAR tickets?
Get Jay the NASCAR tickets.
What, Granny?
Give him the ticket.
That's your granny.
That is
and you're
so
a
nice.
Lucky man, Jason.
I know it.
Okay, baby.
All right, Mom. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye, Granny.
All right, bye,
bye-bye.
Granny. Let me tell you something, you retard. You are so lucky that she wasn't pregnant. I mean, what if that abortion hadn't worked out?
Right.
What if that child would have been born?
My God.
Can you imagine?
But now you're going
not really.
Now you're going to NASCAR, Jason. That's the important thing.
Thank you, sir.
I'll take another peek in my pot.
What do you see, Granny? Are you looking, Granny?
Yeah, I see fish.
Hey, Cleet, will you entertain one more question?
Is your crap detector going off?
No, I just have a question about just what kind of person he is.
Jason?
I don't.
Hey, Jason?
Yes, sir.
One more question. Did you at any time really think she was pregnant, or was it a scam from the word go?
Oh, no, sir. She was... This is what the girl told me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get the girl drunk?
No, not at all. This was... she wasn't really my girlfriend.
Of course not.
It gets even better.
That's right.
It gets better and better.
Yeah, I hear that.
Are you still in touch with her?
Every once in a blue moon.
Yeah, when you get lonely.
Yeah.
Booty call. Okay, Jason. Well, thank you, my friend. Enjoy your time at NASCAR.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Have a good one.
Hold on just a moment.
I took the butcher knife and held up to her neck.
Yeah.
I said, if you want to live to see tomorrow, you better start frying them eggs a little bit better than what you're frying. I'm tired of eating sloppy, slimy eggs.
I'll take another peek in my pot.
What do you see, Granny? Yeah, are you looking, Granny?
Yeah, I see fish.
Fish.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the game.
I just got back on my feet, bud.
Buddy,
There we go. Well, we're happy for ye. Yeah.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
The Brewster fellow said he'd bring the money later.
How much they going to pay you?
Well, he said that depends some on how much oil they could pump out.
But he must have mentioned some figure. What was it?
Well, now, Curl, you know that old swamp won't put shut.
Pig Lampett, you got slicked and you're ashamed to admit it. That's just what I told him. Granny, how much they gonna pay him?
All right, I'll tell you. He said it runs somewhere between 25 and 100.
25 and 100?
I know it don't sound like much, but Mr. Brewster seemed to set great store by the fact he's gonna pay me in some new kind of dollars.
There ain't no new kind of dollars.
Well, it's new to me. I've heard of gold dollars, silver dollars, paper dollars, but he says he's gonna pay me in, what do you call them, Granny?
Million dollars.
Yeah.
Million dollars?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Becoming a father, huh?
Yeah.
We've been waiting over 3 years.
Really?
Oh, yeah. How about you?
About a month.
A month, that's all?
Well, I'm something of a famous radio personality. I guess that greased the wheels a little.
Bill's a plumber.
Hey, my name's Bill, too.
Well, we have a lot in common.
Yeah, sure we do.
The Don and Mike Show.
Simmer down and relax. I'm sure that we won't have to have another little talk like this again. Am I correct in assuming this?
Well, without question, you absolutely, yes, we'll never have to correct our talk. We won't ever speak. That is, we'll never have to talk again. We just never will discuss talking. We shouldn't really converse about speaking.
Professor, our discussion has come to an end.
Noted Caucasian, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
It's the best of Don and Mike. I am also a Caucasian. My name is Rob Spiewak, and I'm having a good time playing you these funny tapes. Ugh. Okay, moving on. I remember this weekend so clearly. As a matter of fact, this is my weekend recap. The weekend I saw Ryan Seacrest, and he was dreamy, and I had some automotive difficulty. I hope you enjoy it. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Okay, let's go in chronological order.
Okay, Friday night.
My best friend, Rob Spiewak, calls me Saturday morning and right. says, you will not believe the night I had last night. Now,
did it or did it not sound like we were playing Can You Get to 10?
It did. Rob's doing an appearance at a bar called Coyote Ugly. You've heard of these bars, right?
Yeah, yes. And it's like in the movie, and the girls dance on the bar, and it's right. very cool, and mm-hmm. it's not very crowded because I'm doing an appearance. And I know that it was going well when the hot bartender picks up the mic and says, hey, everyone who loves the Don and Mike Show, Ryan Spiewak is here.
Did she really say that?
She did. And
it was an honest mistake?
It sort of set the tone for the night.
Ryan Spiewak.
Yeah, I was there with my WJFK gear to hand out to everyone that cared to come up.
Oh, what time did your appearance begin?
It was 8:30 to 10:30.
So, in other words, I mean, knowing the bar business like I know, on a Friday night...
Yes.
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
Your appearance ended... when most people, like women in particular, are finishing up their makeup.
So, yeah, well, what they want to do is they want people to come in earlier, so that's when they put me there.
Right.
Okay. Right. So but on the bright side, we got a great parking spot.
But for whatever reason.
8:30 to 10:30.
He's there, but here's the best part.
Right.
So he's there doing an appearance.
Right, and it's winding up. And, you know, obviously, it's been a great night for everybody.
Sure.
And I'm there with Jag, our promotions director.
And winding up is the right expression to use.
Yeah, because I want out. I want home. And they start bringing in TV equipment. Oh. Like lights, and they're testing the cameras and everything. And this is when it starts. You remember when Dean Banowitz was here from American
right,
Idol?
Right, yeah.
Do I?
Ryan and I, we're going to go to Coyote Ugly this weekend.
Oh, right.
And I just sort of thought, that's an odd coincidence.
Didn't think about it.
Well, as the lights go on.
Oh, so it was a Freudian slip by the bartender.
The crowd, like, triples automatically. It's, like, magical. And who walks in but Ryan Seacrest?
Wow.
And he gets up on the bar.
Now, hold on. Let me say it. Who walks in, Rob?
Who?
Who?
Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
He passes within 20 inches of me. He's right in front of me, and he's short, and he's a goof. And
oh, so my God.
Yes, he was right there. And so he walks in front of me, and there's cameras. One camera, one big, you know, TV camera, and a girl behind him that's making notes of all the shots.
Uh-huh. Right.
And so she ends up right next to me. I said, what's going on here? And she says, we're taking video for a television show. And I said, really? Who's that?
She says, why, that's Ryan Seacrest.
Now, hold on a second. Did Jag hear this?
Yes. Oh, Jag was here for the whole time, yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to call him up. Because I just want verification that you really deadpanned this as much as you're saying you did.
It was very great.
What is Jag?
Who's that?
What's Jag's number? Anybody? Oh, I see. 818.
Okay, gotcha.
Wow, Rob. And nobody hipped you to this fact.
Great area code.
Well, I expected.
Hi, Jag.
Hey, Jag.
Jag, it's Don and Mike with Rob.
What's going on, guys?
Remember when I was talking to the producer at Coyote Ugly?
Yep.
Okay, now tell me, jump in if I say anything that didn't happen.
Okay.
I said, who's that? And she says, that's Ryan Seacrest. I said, wow, what does he do? And she said, he's the host of the television program. I said, oh, what show is that? And she said, American Idol. And I said, don't believe I know that. What is that on? And that's when she walked away from me. That was the most satisfying experience.
Now, when she walked away from you, did she walk away maybe knowing you were faking it just? Because if you even had that tone, I would pick up on
that.
Well,
Jack, what do you think? Do you think the woman knew Rob was goofing her?
He was a great actor. He pulled it off so well. It was beautiful.
So about that time is when Ryan gets up on the bar and grabs the microphone. And
now, understand what they're going to be doing is some cut-ins because, you know, they had the American Idol tryouts here in D.C. Uh-huh. Remember we sent Joe down with a tape recorder?
Right.
So now it's 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And he's up there and he says, hello, Coyote Ugly! And everyone's an idiot and everyone's drunk. And they all go, yay! I'm Ryan Seacrest. Yay! And I bet you didn't know that one of our finalists that's going to Hollywood from Washington, D.C. works here at Coyote Ugly. And they went, yay!
Of course.
And he says, would you like her to sing for you tonight? And they all go, yay! Uh-huh. And he says, great, let's bring her up. But first, before we tape anything, we need all of your permission to be on television. So if it's okay for you to be put on television, I need you to cheer real loud. And everyone, of course, goes, yay! So everything's good.
Bunch of drunk tools.
So now Ryan goes back down the steps, not on the bar anymore, and he's still on the microphone. He says, now I'm going to go back up there and say the same thing I just said to you, and you're going to pretend you haven't heard it yet and give me the same reaction that you just gave me. Because now we can film this, okay?
Behind the scenes.
Right, so that's their waiver?
That's it.
He just asked their permission?
And the whole time, Ryan is being...
Mr. Seacrest, I did not give my permission.
Well, it'll probably be on for like 15 seconds.
Right.
What are the odds that you even get spotlighted if you're in the crowd?
Right. The whole time, there's a little director, British guy, following behind him. Ryan, we need to get the shot, Ryan. So Ryan gets back up there, and this time it's TV Ryan. Because he's strutting up onto the bar.
Uh-huh.
He's like, hello, Coyote Ugly!
Now, Jag, did you find...
Oh, dear. You find Coyote in your throat.
Did you find... boy, that is good.
Tasty.
Did you find Ryan Seacrest to be as, I don't want to say two-faced, and not necessarily phony.
Well, yeah, phony is the word. Very transparent.
Then he tweaked it up for the TV.
Did you find it the same as Rob did?
He was definitely playing up to the camera.
Oh, okay, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's show business, though.
Right, that's what he's supposed to do.
So he got up there and he did the exact same thing about, did you know and do you want her to sing? And he said, all right, let's bring her up. And then instead of bringing her up, they stop, and Ryan goes back down the bar. And he says, we're going to do this again, but this time we're just going to film the crowd. And they say, okay, Ryan, we need to get the shot of the crowd.
Uh-huh. Ryan.
So, Ryan, you're going to do it again.
One camera, huh?
So, one camera is now standing on the bar, shooting the crowd, and Ryan goes up, and I don't know how rehearsed it was, but he says almost the same thing, just filming the crowd yelling, yay!
Hey, D.C.!
Yeah, you're great! Welcome to Coyote Ugly, D.C.! What are you saying? Yay! So, this all goes down. Then she comes up and sings. She sings, I think, three songs.
Right.
Then...
Jag, let me ask you, how was the girl? Was she talented or not?
Oh, she was mighty talented.
Yeah, and she sang
too. Wait, talking about the girl from Coyote Ugly or the actual singer?
The singer works at Coyote Ugly.
Oh, that one. Okay, yeah, she was all right. But I thought you were talking about the other blonde.
Oh, yeah, there was that blonde. She was very talented.
Oh, mighty.
I guess we're talking about another American Idol star.
Absolutely. It was Jag's personal talent.
She has to ride on Haji's magic carpet.
Congratulations. You're going to Fairfax. So, anyway, she gets up and she sings, and the greatest moment is while she's singing, all the Coyote girls, including the blonde, are up on the bar with her. And they have to watch her sing, and they didn't get that shot. So the director says, all right, now I need you ladies to look at my hand
and pretend you're watching her sing. And he holds up his hand and, like, makes a talking motion.
Oh, my God.
Now, don't look at the camera, love. Look at me hand. Look at me hand, because Jack is singing.
Jack, is this happening as Rob's describing it?
It's deja vu.
And then the big finale, I guess the big gimmick at Coyote Ugly is they play the Def Leppard song Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Right.
And they pour water on the bartenders, all these hot-looking girls in bikini tops.
Right.
And he said, Ryan, do you think they could pour water on you? Ryan, what about the water? Ryan, do you want to go with the water? And so they ended with Ryan having to take off his lavalier mic, kneel down on the bar, and get water poured on him, which they could only do once.
Crazy. Right.
Because
and it ruined his hair.
He looked horrible.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, and then as everyone was in a big rage of excitement because Ryan had water poured on him, we did leave. Jag and I talked about it for the better part of the ride home, and we decided that from what they shot, what'd you say, Jag, like 25 minutes?
Yeah, probably about, yeah.
Yeah, they'll use about 30 seconds of it on television.
Really?
But it was so funny.
But it should be at the opening, I would think.
Yeah, right? Whatever the audition show is for DC, and it was so funny because I bet they plan it, so it's like Ryan leaves the audition and says, let's go over to Coyote Ugly right now. And walks in and does
Did you see the guy that does Ryan's hair, that guy?
I did walk over and see Dean. He was
Dean, the guy that cut my hair?
Hanging in the back of the bar, and I went up and said, hey, and he recognized me right away, which prevented me from looking too stupid.
Good.
And I said, hey, this is great. You guys, you know, we had a great time with you on the show. And he said, oh, how nice. This is Ryan's personal assistant. And I said, oh, hi, my name is Rob. I'm with CBS Radio. Yes, but again, I kept a straight face.
Of course.
And I said, if Ryan ever wants to do any DC radio, I gave her a card.
Very good.
Who knows? At least that's an
it. It could happen.
So then we left and went home, and that was the day.
That was your evening.
All right, goodbye, Jag. We'll see you.
Well, there was one more thing that you forgot about that, though.
Yes. What's that?
When Ryan got on the bar and also apologized to all the guys for being there.
Oh, yeah.
Because he didn't want to interrupt their normal routine. And the fact that he apologized, actually the guys made more noise throughout the entire night then and there.
Yeah, he was, you know, he said, I don't want to get in the way of all your girls.
Not a smart move.
No, and so that pissed everyone off.
All right, thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Jack.
Because I'm such a stud.
He is a great 5.5-foot stud.
So how did you know? And yeah, now really, how tall is he?
I'm a good hunk higher than him. I'd say he's about 5'6", 5'7".
5'6".
And he probably wasn't wearing the flat shoes either. You know, I would think if he was out and doing
had some lifts on.
He might. You never can.
So Rob's going out to do one of his.
Did he look tired?
No, he looked wonderful.
And he did. Oh, wonderful. He's going out to do one of his low-rent appearances.
Right.
Lo and behold, who shows up?
Ryan Seacrest.
And you had no idea that
you were going to have that kind of excitement.
And it was actually sort of cool when you take the whole jiveness out of it.
Sure.
And it was neat to see, but it was so bad. We're going to do the whole thing again, and you're going to pretend I hadn't said it, okay?
Now, listen, I'm really running out of time because we've got the guys that are getting married coming on. Tell us about your accident with the deaf lady.
Okay, well, I just want to throw
your car accident with the deaf lady.
One thing real quick. My father got DirecTV installed this weekend, and he had the greatest hillbilly who installed it. And he said, you better be careful, because you're going to get addicted to the sex channel. I got to put in a phone line for you, or you're going to get the sex channel. I certainly do. So that's him. He left. We never got his name. So I'm coming home. I'm on the Beltway near the Mormon Temple.
Right.
The big highway in D.C.
Right. Great piece of road.
Yeah, wonderful. And just traffic moving as smooth as always.
Yeah, so it's a great major highway that goes left and run, left, right, left, right, left, right, left.
And so, you know, it comes to a point where there's a sudden slowdown, and so being a good, careful driver, I slow down.
Right.
Person behind me slows down as soon as she hits the back of my car, of course.
Oh, no.
So I'd say she's going about 30 miles an hour and right in the back of my car.
Wow.
Of course. Thank you, General Motors. She was in a Grand Am.
Wow.
I was in a Tahoe. Advantage Tahoe.
Man.
But her car was pretty mangled up. And it's scary.
Oh, wow. Man.
I mean,
Martin, the one where Eddie Murphy just...
Bowfinger.
Bowfinger. We stood out in the middle of the highway. Yeah.
It is horrifying. You really don't realize how fast...
I mean, if you're at that part of the Beltway, it's incredible.
I mean, I've got the car between me and the traffic, and I'm still about to drop something.
Right.
It's really scary. So
this broad runs into you. You get out of the car.
And I go up to her, and I say, are you all right? I mean, I'm upset, but I want to make sure everything's okay. And she indicates that she didn't hear me. Of course, it's very loud. So I get maybe a foot away from her, and I go, are you all right? And she indicates to her head that she's deaf. So she didn't hear me even then.
I'm bam.
So about that time, I get out my cell phone to try and call the police.
Are you, B-Way?
No, that's She didn't know. She was from Minnesota.
Doesn't hear the show.
Of course. So I'm trying to say.
Hey, Buzz. I get jokes, Buzz.
Hey.
I get jokes.
So, you know, I'm saying, are you okay? And she's trying to indicate that she needs a piece of paper. Well, luckily, a firefighter and a cop show up, and we exchange all our information, and it's just.
What an evening you had.
And just to say, it's convenient to talk to a deaf person on a 12-lane death strip.
Uh-huh.
Try getting to the bottom of the accident details through an interpreter on the telephone.
Oh, my God.
When you really have to get the instruction for this link where you go and you talk to the person like you're talking to them, and then you end everything with go ahead.
GA, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm going through the whole thing and I say, is everything okay with your insurance? Are you going to be able to give me your insurance number when you get home to Minnesota, whenever that is, go ahead. And then there's a literally 45-second pause, and the operator comes on and says, yes. Like, that could not have taken that long. And then also the great conversation is, unless it's an odd circumstance, when you get rear-ended, the person behind is at fault.
Yes.
Unless you try to draw the accident for any reason.
Right.
Halfway through, she starts bringing up the fact that maybe she's not at fault.
Now, how is she bringing this up if she's deaf?
She said, well, again, through the interpreter on the telephone.
Right.
And she said,
how can a deaf person use an interpreter on the telephone?
She types.
They've got that.
She types. And then the interpreter says it to me.
Okay.
And I say it and the interpreter
types. Maybe it's driving my fault.
And she, yeah, and I get from, it says, again, operator here. You apparently stopped down slow. Maybe it wasn't my fault because you slowed down. Go ahead. I said, no, I was going slow and you hit me. Go ahead.
Well, there's
your problem. But the problem is, this is a conversation that really, in real life, should have escalating tones of anger and frustration.
Yes.
But you can't. Because you're talking, and then you get back. Get back. Operator here. Perhaps that is the case, but I would like to speak to the police about this. Go ahead. I said, I can give you the police's phone number of the officer who was at the site. Go ahead. It's just, I would like that number very much. Go ahead. And it's just, it's so, I've never been quite that frustrated.
Oh, my God.
You're two steps away from the person you want to wring their neck, and I leave you with this question.
Did you ever think about just communicating with gestures?
I thought about that. I was doing it at my house, though.
Yes.
I was doing
the phone,
on the dance.
Right.
If you're required to have an automobile horn to work, to drive a car.
Yeah.
Why should a deaf person be allowed to drive?
Well, Rob, I was just going to say, DSD.
What's that?
Deaf shouldn't drive.
I agree. You know, I mean, there are lots of provisions made for the afflicted in everyday life.
Think about it. Do we let blind people drive?
It's not fair for them.
Well, I've seen some people that might qualify.
But Mike, I mean, not like Roy Orbison faking.
Real
blind.
Well, that's why we have the taillights.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But still.
Varying intensity.
What of the horn, Mike? What of the horn?
What a frustrating day. See, I always tell you, Rob.
It went my fault.
None of this happens if you just do what I always do.
And that is?
Stay at the bar.
I
always stay, Rob.
Yeah.
How
today
is Ryan Secret? Go ahead.
Over.
Go ahead.
No, her name was not Debbie.
Stay tuned.
Oh, this is fun.
We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Get the flu.
You want me to ask them for a blanket?
You got to be very careful with air conditioning. You know, Francis and I, we've got one in the bedroom. I never let her turn it on in the summer.
Oh, she must be crazy about that.
I knew it.
Now, what's the matter now?
Now, I got this. My ears are filling up. I got this sinus condition. It's the change in temperature. I always get it from air conditioning.
Maybe it'll go away.
No, it's all part of my allergies. I get them in the summer.
Only in the summer?
And in the winter, too. I get them all year long. Allergic to foods. And pillows and curtains and perfumes. Can you imagine that? Allergic to perfumes? I used to drive Frances crazy. For a while, she couldn't wear anything except my aftershave lotion. I was impossible to live with.
Stop that, will you? What are you doing?
I'm trying to clear up my ears. You create a pressure inside your head. It opens up the eustachian tube.
Did it open up?
I think I strained my throat. The Don and Mike
Show. Blissfully nude. Don and Mike.
And there's your lesson on Eustachian Tubes. It is the best of Don. That's my favorite new wave band. The Eustachian Tubes. They're excellent. Give them a listen. It is the best of Don and Mike. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak here. Got time for another segment. There was a big deal. I think it was last summer. James and Irwin were having a wedding. Now, here's the deal. It was a gay wedding, and they invited the first daughters, Jenna and Barbara Bush, to come. And, you know, their dad, George W., not the biggest fan of gay marriage. So we had them on. They turned out to be really gay, happy guys. It's James and Irwin's wedding on the best of Don and Mike.
Joining us now, I think we have both guys on the phone, James and Irwin. Now, these are guys that are making national headlines. James Packard Gomez and Irwin Gomez Packard. These dudes are getting married to each other. You know, we've got no problem with gay marriage on this show.
No, we don't.
As a matter of fact, years ago, we said that Ellen should get married up at in Vermont when they made it legal up there. We'd pay for it.
Yeah, right? We were going to do that. Yeah.
So these guys are getting married. And they're getting married on 9/11. And for a lot of people, I mean, just mentioned, there's a NASCAR race we're giving away tickets to on 9/11.
Very good.
So September 11th is a day we remember, but we also move along.
Right, wrong.
These guys are in the news because, first, because they're gay. Second, because they're getting married on 9/11, and the only reason that there's anything to do with 9/11 is that they're very good friends with the Bush twins.
They actually, one of them works with the Bush twins, right?
And
a hairdresser.
And the Bush girls are going to their wedding.
Very good. Good for Jenna and Barbara. Mm-hmm.
You know, Daddy can't be thrilled about it. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, W is against gay marriage.
I think so, yes.
And anyway, here they are now. James, Irwin, are you guys there?
Hola. Hi.
Hey, hola. What's happening, you guys?
Hey, you radio gods, you.
So listen, how fantastic is this that you guys, dreamy, absolutely, just if I could say, a dreamy invitation that was overnighted to us. What's the deal with all the feathers in it?
Because you got to keep in mind that we have a Las Vegas theme. We're having a whole casino crew come in for like blackjack and roulette and... You know, we have drag queens performing in from New York.
Oh, hello. Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be
amazing.
So of course, I'm not going to give out the location of this. It's a private after-wedding thing. But it's on Saturday night, September 11th, 7 p. to 2 a. I see everything that I like. Cocktails, martini bar, attire, dress to kill. There's a pool area, swimwear. Swimwear optional.
Hello.
Hello.
Vegas casino style live entertainment. Mm-hmm. Okay. Guys, of course, we appreciate the invitation. We'll be there. No doubt it'll be a great party. Thanks for thinking of us.
We're glad. You
oh,
know,
my God.
We got, you know, guys, we got a call from Jack Diamond's camp, and we said, there's no way in hell.
No way.
No way in hell. We're letting him near here.
There you go.
The radio gods are who we listen to for years. We got to have these guys here.
We'd love to come.
And,
nice.
And that's what's very nice, that we did not even, we discussed your wedding on our show, thinking how it's going to piss off W.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Never had a thought to call you guys and say, hey, can we crash the party? Can we send Joe? It was very nice. Beth Ann said, one of you guys just called on your own and said you'd listen to the show for a long time.
Yeah, big time listener.
We'd love to be there. How much publicity have you guys gotten already for your wedding? Because it's a gay wedding, and because the Bush girls are going to be there, and because it's 9/11.
Well, there's a lot of people. Basically, the party's the who's of Washington.
Mm.
And we kind of consider ourselves the top bitches, and you guys are the top...
Hold on, very kind.
Hey, fellas, that's a wonderful sentiment, but you can't use that language on our new FCC show.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Now, is James or Irwin or both of you, who has the contact with the Bush sisters?
It's me. It's Irwin.
It's Irwin, and Irwin, you do the hair of both girls?
I'm their makeup artist.
You're their makeup artist.
Hey, did you have anything to do with I saw their piece on the VMAs last night. Did you have anything to do with getting them fixed?
No, not at all.
I was not going to be anything less than positive.
Mm-hmm.
They looked
really hot last night.
Really?
The Bush girls Bush girls did a taped thing at the VMAs, and Carrie's daughter came out there.
Has this been a lot of controversy, Irwin, with the girls coming to the wedding?
Yeah, big time.
Wow.
Big time. I didn't expect to be this way, but it is.
So it's a
initially, you know, someone in the salon saw the transfer of the invitation and leaked it.
Oh, no.
Like, and this took place. I mean, we gave them the invite maybe a month and a half ago, and it just leaked into a New York tabloid a couple weeks ago.
Well,
so, you know, it was someone within the salon, someone that came to, you know, get her hair done, that saw it, and then went to the press with it in New York.
Oh,
I did it, but anyway, I got a phone call within a couple of weeks and started getting interviewed by phone, and I didn't realize it was a New York daily gossip news.
Would you guys have preferred that it didn't leak, or do you, is there anything political where you're using this opportunity to maybe make a statement about gay marriage?
Well, what Irwin and I both feel, this is James speaking, is that this is, you know, this is bigger than us. This is, yes, this is our gay, you know, ceremony from our wedding in San Francisco under Mayor Gavin Newsom, but it's also more important. This is about gay rights and the civil rights of all and the freedoms of all.
Amen.
And how the inequalities and injustices are being done to not just the gay community, but many communities throughout history.
Right.
I've said this, and I mean this, fellas. Really, even though I'm talking this way,
yeah.
There is no reason that you cannot be married and end up being as miserable as all of us straight people are.
Amen.
I mean that. 23 years I've been with the same bitch, and I only say that in a loving way.
You just said that word you told me not to say.
No, it was the S word.
No, the S word was the one that we had the problems with.
Okay.
So listen, we're all for, you know, gay marriage, and even though we goofy, you know, it's great you guys have a sense of humor. Here's my question. Now, we're invited. We're going to be there. It's going to be fantastic. Are you going to help us out in this situation? Because we're going to be like fish out of water at this thing.
Oh, no. You guys are going to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We have the security detail down to a T.
Oh, yeah. We have
over 30 armed guards on the property.
Wow.
This thing is full-blown everything. We have floors built into the house.
I'm wondering if we could get any kind of, and not to stereotype, although that's what we do best on this show. I'd like to know what, as far as what to wear, dress to kill. I mean, the standard, like, business suit.
I'm thinking like a nice Armani suit. I've got
that's it. That's it. Armani suit. We'll definitely do it.
All right. I don't know. I might want to go more flamboyant.
It's not a black tie attire.
It's not a black tie thing.
It's a cocktail evening affair.
And now, guys, let me ask you a very serious question. This is the first time we've ever spoken.
Uh-huh.
Both of you, James and Irwin, how much do you mind, and tell me if you mind at all, if we whore this out? And here's what I mean. You guys were nice enough to call us.
Right.
You know, we'd love to be able to go to the press to say, hey, guess what? These two guys that are getting married with the Bush girls, guess who they invited?
Mm-hmm.
The two disc jockeys everybody hates.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you do what you have to do to get the civil rights movement moving forward, guys.
Amen. Well, we'd be, if you don't mind, then.
Yeah, we
not
want
at all.
To.
Go for it.
Nothing we do
you
better
be a
than.
Whore.
There's nothing we can do better than whore ourselves out of
it. Put a whore in bitch.
Brother, will we?
Now, how long are you guys?
I just want to party with you guys.
There we go. How long have you guys been together?
10 years.
How long?
10 years.
10 years. And
we first got married. We met in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Of course you did. Huh. Where else would you meet?
I know, right? And we first got married in Amsterdam in 1998.
Wow. Amsterdam.
And then we flew to San Francisco on a red eye to get married, you know, practically the day before our date. In Amsterdam.
So you guys went out to San Francisco to get in the deadline when it was legal, and so
right.
you guys are legal. And now what's with all the controversy with them rescinding that? Where does that stand right now?
Well, right now, you know, that's a real touchy issue, and mm-hmm. our lawyers are all pouring over it, and the ACLU is filing suits mm-hmm. in the state of Maryland, and you know, there's a bunch of different groups looking at doing a different bunch of things to look at that. But the real issue is not so much what the Supreme Court of California has already done. The real issue is it constitutionally correct to deny us marriage? And on that basis, I would have to say they're going to find in our favor that it's not correct.
Well,
but from the mayor being able to overstep everyone and start creating the marriage, that in itself was a like a boo-boo.
Okay. Aww. Now, do you ever...
As far as... Now, what he did was jumpstart like Rosa Parks.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Took those first steps up the bus.
Symbolic.
So he got us in the right direction, and I commend him for that. But now we've got to let, as you know, society loves lawyers, and lawyers love to spend money. So now this is going to be wrangled for, you know, a couple years.
All right, and the more publicity, the better, I would
think. Somehow, when things happen for a reason, I mean... The way the Bush girls come about, I mean, this actually gives us the opportunity to actually show what we were fighting for.
Now, listen, let's talk about them for a second, because it's one thing for us, you know, we're, no matter what people might think who listen to the show, we're pretty liberal in just about all of our thoughts. So it's not surprising we would go and support you. No, we would think anything of that with us. With these girls, with their dad, I mean...
This is huge. This is a huge deal.
I'm watching the Fox News channel today, you know, and they're all, you know, jacked up again.
Oh, yeah.
They're ramping up for the convention. Sure. And just in talking about bullet points with Bush and what he's going to be bringing, one of the things that comes up is, you know, the war, then you've got the economy, and then you've got gay marriage, like number three on the list of things that Bush is going to say, you know, he's either for or against. He's not, obviously he's not for it. How pissed?
Well, I wouldn't be so quick to say that.
Oh, really?
We actually sent him a letter last week.
You think
and,
there's any?
No. You might be hearing about that tomorrow in the newspapers.
Really?
I can't go into any details.
Ooh, a potential scoop here.
Exciting.
So you sent a letter to George Bush, and do you think you're getting a response? Is that what you're saying?
Well, let's just say that I can't go into detail, but it's going to be mass printed tomorrow.
Really?
Hmm. You're not telling me he's coming to the thing on Saturday, are you?
Hey, we'd love to have him if he...
Could you imagine?
Come, hey, the invite, go out to FedEx.
Right. That tight ass, no pun intended. Can you imagine him showing up on 9/11 at a gay wedding?
But as far as the girls are concerned, they've committed and they're going to be there.
They didn't commit it. They weren't sure.
They said they're going to do everything in their best efforts to show up, but...
We're excited to get the invitation.
There's a many high profile coming, and now our attorneys are advising that we don't say anyone is coming.
Like, I got you.
Okay,
let's just keep it all on the cutesy. But listen, go ahead and drop our names wherever you can.
We're going to. And hey, I got a good question for you guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you've been spinning on us. Let me.
That's the right order. Let's see who got it right. And in the fastest time, Ted Patchell. Ted Patchell, congratulations. We have five people from New Jersey in the fastest finger, and you're one of them from Somerdale, New Jersey. What do you do?
I'm a computer catalog salesperson. I take orders over the phone.
What did you do last night, Ted?
Actually, I stayed in and watched ABC.
All right. Your partner, Thomas, is up there. Hi, Tom. Yes. How you doing?
Hi, Regis.
Nice to see you. What would you do if you won the $1 million?
Pay off all the bills and splurge and go get a dozen pairs of shoes at once.
All right, good.
Anyone coming.
I got you.
Okay, let's just keep it all
on the QT. But listen, go ahead and drop our names wherever you can.
Hey, I got a good question for you guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you've been spinning on us. Let me spin on you.
Right.
Why haven't you radio gods of all gods switched to XM satellite radio yet?
Because we have a contract with Terrestrial Radio Infinity Broadcasting.
I know, but guys, that's going to be as dead as the doornail in 5 years.
I don't know.
Guys, we have a 4-year contract.
Yeah,
thank God.
And much like you were talking about lawyers before, that's why we can't talk.
Yeah.
And listen, I dig XM. I've got it. Uh-huh. I don't disagree that I think satellite radio eventually, and I'm talking years and years and years, because people are going to have to get used to paying for something. They're going to have to make the product better. Right now, we're still FREE, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we will reach a hell of a lot more people that way.
Yeah, I know.
So don't sweat it.
So this sounds like it's going to be the party of the decade. It really does.
Definitely.
Oh, man.
Will you have vanilla vodka?
We have
every vodka you can think of.
Belvedere, every top shelf name you can think of.
Here's what I request, fellas.
But you know, if you guys could do something for us as a favor.
What's that?
We've been trying to get Starbucks get a hold of Starbucks Corporation and mm-hmm. look, you know, there's going to be a lot of drinking. You know, we're going to have Hummer limos taking the people back and forth the parking lot.
Hummers?
Hummer stretch.
Oh, okay. Ah, yeah, we got it.
No, not that kind of Hummer, guys.
Oh,
oh. I'm sure there'll be a few here to help you out.
Oh!
Oh,
now,
yeah.
You're hey, make watch me, it.
All right.
But anyway, the we really would like Starbucks to do like a barista bar.
Starbucks?
Make their frappuccinos, and they can, you know, make their shots so that people can, like, you know, have a little coffee through the night.
The
can I just say something about you guys? Not only are you organized, I've always said that. You got, you know, gay men, gay women, really, they're like a walk. What I like is they're like a walking day planner. And listen to this. Listen to the thought that these guys put in.
Oh, I mean, yes. There's no question.
You're going to have a party. You're going to have martinis. You're going to booth. Let's get Starbucks
you know,
involved.
Better, guys. No. Because XM Satellite's going to be here giving out free satellite radio.
Oh, would you stop with the XM stuff?
Stop promoting XM on terrestrial radio.
Stop that, for goodness sakes. Come on, we're coming to this thing as your friends. I mean, we'll trade out a little bit if we can put out a PR thing, but we're not going to do commercials for goddamn XM radio. Listen, here's the deal. We'll see you. We will be there. Are we allowed to bring dates?
No, I want your wife here. I mean, I always hear
her said,
cell phone,
no,
the grocery store, in the bathroom.
No. See, I said, can we bring dates? I didn't want to bring my wife.
Oh,
I
didn't ask about wives.
I mean, I'm not going to say anything as no one's filming.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so I can bring my wife. Buzz can bring his wife. Rob can bring his wife if she's still speaking to him.
Of course. I mean, please.
Wonderful. Well, we'll bring everybody.
All right. Guys, then we'll see you on September 11th. Thank you for thinking of us. Thanks for the invitation.
God bless, guys.
You guys seem like you're handling all of this very, very well, and we wish you the very best of luck.
God bless. And okay. Hey, go out there and whore it, guys.
We're going to whore it.
Whore it like bitches.
We're the biggest whores.
Okay.
Congratulations, guys.
You guys. Bye, Bethany. Bye, Rob A.
That's the
James and Irwin, guys.
Here they are, the famous guys. Two famous gay guys getting married on 9/11.
Fantastic. And Starbucks, if you're listening, they need you there.
Yes. For a barista bar.
Why don't they just call Starbucks and say, how much would it cost?
Well, I think they tried to get in touch with Starbucks, and they can't get in touch.
This is a promotional opportunity.
Starbucks? Hey, Starbucks, are you gay-friendly or what?
Yeah. Get me Starbucks on the phone.
If they could just cater to the gay, they could sell twice as much coffee.
Amen, Rob.
I totally the gay.
Today's modern gay.
That's right. CTTG.
TMG. Today's modern gay.
To the gay.
To the gay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, like a gay mocha?
You know, ladies and gentlemen, not to blow my own horn, but that is top-notch comedy. And speaking of my own horn, there you go. Sorry, we're out of time.
Meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.